But you know what I did get? The bullying that would happen was from real punks. And that, like, those kids, like, I remember having this hoodie when I was really young, and it had, like, it said punk's not dead on it.
Yeah.
And this kid came up to me and was like, who says punk's dead? And I remember just being like,
I don't know.
Fuck!
Someone must say that. Happened to me. I was 14, and I was like, anarchy. I had a wallet with the anarchy symbol, and I remember someone being like, so what are you against? And I was like,
I don't know. It just feels right.
You know, just like everything, man. Yeah. And I remember that
it's
day
so
I threw out the wallet.
Really?
I was like, it helped
me.
Dude,
I got into skate fashion, and I was wearing it with hanging out with my friends in Vegas, and somebody outside the Treasure Island, I just walked by and heard somebody go, fucking poser. And I was so mad.
But
I
was like, damn it.
I mean, you're right. I can't even ollie.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're 100% right. We're a Skeptic Thing podcast, everybody, and my name is Ari Shaffir, and this is a fart. And that was wet. I'm gonna have to change my underwear after this because I pushed the limits. Guys, in today's episode, I mean, when I have trouble smelling it, it smells. Dude, Skankfest was so fun. No, today's episode of Ari Shaffir Skeptic Tank is with Ian Fidance and Jordan Jensen, and it is all about the hardcore punk, ska, straight edge scene. By the way, I should stop and tell you this. Well, I'll be in Philadelphia this weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Get tickets now. And also, my special will be out on YouTube.com November 2nd. That is the plan. Everything has to go dead right for me to get it out in time for that. November 2nd is the date. Start spreading the news. Start getting excited. You want to subscribe right here at youtube.com/Ari Shaffir. If you're listening, wherever you are, go to youtube.com/Ari Shaffir right now and hit subscribe, because my special, Ari Shaffir Jew, is finally seeing the light of day. I was going to put it away forever. And then I had a vision on ayahuasca in the jungle of the Amazon. And it said, Ari, you're only doing a few things dead on right in your whole fucking life. That storytelling show you had, This Is Not Happening, which also started on YouTube. And also, this special, Ari Shaffir Jew. And you can't just move on past that. You got a couple things that you've done correct in your entire life. This Is Not Happening, My Dog Bandit, and this special, Ari Shaffir Jew. So, start getting excited. Subscribe right now to youtube.com/Ari Shaffir, and this special is going to see the light of day November 2nd. God damn, I hope it's on time. Everything's fucking tight. I got to get the color correction. That's all done. The sound correction. That's going to be the tightest thing. And then I'm just ready. It's coming out. Oh, I'm excited. You guys are going to love it. When it does come out, spread the shit out of it. If you want to fucking donate some cash, donate some cash. So I'm not fucking completely broke from this, but I don't even care. I spent, this will all come out. So much just on... I don't want to go into it, but I just wanted it right, so I'm just spreading money. The fucking song at the end cost me everything, whatever. Guys, let's talk about today's episode. Ian Fidance, you might know him as Poor Man's Ari, came on with Jordan Jensen, his roommate and his co-host of his podcast. What's Ian's podcast called? B and Ian? I think B and Ian. I might be wrong about that. I'm not a great host. He does say it in this episode, but I'm not a great host. I should be looking at it. But I got to get this done. Got to go to the Yankee game. Well, he's big into the hardcore. He was actually in a ska band when he was younger. And Jordan's also into the same shit. That's how they became friends. So they told me the difference between ska, hardcore, punk. We broke down what is a straight edge. It's not just sober. It's different than that. And it was very interesting. He told me some bands, some modern bands that you guys will love. If you're listening to this, we'll be able to play some of that. We'll have links up for YouTube videos of the bands we talked about. If you're watching this on YouTube, patreon.com/RSJewish. My special is going to be there. Dude, Skankfest was the greatest, most glorious festival I've ever been to. We all had such a fucking blast. It went so fucking well. If you were there, man, you were there. I did a Skeptic Tank. It'll be out beginning of November. Good one. Joe List, DeRosa, Norton, Robert Kelly, and Ryan Long. Fucking fun one about Jews. A lot of good riffing on that one. I did a storytelling show. What a fucking good lineup. What a fucking good lineup. DeRosa, Colin Terrell did a great story about Thailand and hookers. Sean Patton did one of the top five stories I've ever heard in my life. Legitimately. If we ever end up doing that show again, he's going to tell this story. I'm like, dude, you got to save it for me. You got to save it for me. I told Bert Kreischer called and was like, how was your storytelling show? Who did it? I was like, Sean. I was like, what story did Sean tell? I'm like, dude, he told the greatest story I ever told. He goes, was it about that? I've seen it. It's amazing. The other greatest story I ever told. Top three. Mexican Got on Boots by Ali Sadiq. This one by Sean and one by Bert. That also, Bert, you got to do this story this is still happening. You got to do it. I'll talk to you about it later. Who else was on there? Sam Talent is fucking hilarious. Great comic. Wrote a book. You guys got to check out Sam Talent. And Big J. What a great fucking show. We had people sitting on the stage. It was sick. We had people sitting on the stage. It was just too many people. It was sold out. So I was like, guys, get up here. Just sit Indian style on the stage. Guys, that's also not racist. Indian people invented sitting like that. And it's actually a cultural appropriation to not call it sitting Indian style. Think about that. Think about that, woke left. If you call it crisscross applesauce, you're stealing their culture. That's what fucking, what's her name got in trouble for calling something a stew when it's like, no, it's a curry. They all got mad at her. And you're going to call it crisscross applesauce? No, it's Indian style. So they sat Indian style on the stage and just had it fucking filled up even more. What a fucking great time. Everybody's on drugs. Everybody, the shows were great. The crowds were great. Fucking Skankfest, dude. It was fucking awesome. I stole two golden tickets from Lewis and I gave one out at my show, at my Skeptic Tank podcast. And we filmed Big J's special. That was so fucking great. We filmed Big J's special with so much fucking work. Mental energy went into it. God damn, it was awesome. Let's just fucking get to the episode. Why even belabor the point? I'm going to be in Philadelphia this weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday at Helium. 2 weeks after that, I'm going to be in Helium in Portland. Tickets are almost sold out for that. November 3rd, 4th, and 5th, I think. What else do I got? Dallas with Reggie Conquest. I got to find an opener for Adrian's going to Australia with Louis. Louis just poaches all my things. Kyla, Marissa, Adrian. Dallas, November 1st, 2nd, 3rd. I mean, Dallas, December 2nd, 1st, 2nd, 3rd at Hyenas with Reggie Conquest. Salt Lake City in January. Pittsburgh in January. Tampa in February. San Jose, first weekend of March. All tickets, all on sale right now. European tour coming soon for April. Guys, let's start the episode. I'm Ari Shaffir. Ian Fidance, Jordan Jensen, come on. Talk about Hardcore Punks. That's a good name. Hardcore Punks. With Jordan Jensen. Episode Ari Shaffir, Skeptic, episode, I don't know, fucking 491. It could be 491. Starts now.
Everybody in the back, get to the front. Let's open this pit up.
Is that what they do?
Yeah. Come on, you fucking pussies.
Yeah, that's what they do. That's what they do.
All right, well, we're just...
Fuck shit up.
What is it about the rage and the fucking punk and hardcore scenes?
It's the best. It's a place to go to unleash your rage in a safe environment where you can musically, sonically, emotionally feel it with other people. And the cool thing about the pit is that you're in there and you're smashing around, you're hitting, you're pushing. And if someone falls down, you all pick each other up because you're all in it together.
Yeah, that's the best part. Yeah. The best part is that you know, you'll get like hit and then you'll turn and the person will be like,
So
I like the pits where it's pushing and fucking and like, elbow to elbow. But when they do the punches, it's like, I don't care.
Oh, the spin kicks.
The karate. What the fuck is that?
I used to do a mule kick. I used to push down on the ground and kick my legs up like that.
And
like
try to hit somebody?
Like a move from Streets of Rage. No. Not hitting someone in my own little space.
But you know when they're all
to express
the thing
my
people like will punch into the middle of it. Is that a normal thing?
Yeah, but it's a pulled punch. It's not like a your face. It's like just a at the air, and if you get in the way, you get in the way.
There were some guys who would intentionally go in to hurt people.
Right.
And they were a part of like gangs.
But they
and
get
stuff.
Pulled out.
They get
no,
pulled out.
Not when they run security at the venue.
Wasn't there some guy in some band, not a hardcore band, but somebody was like, hey, quit fucking grabbing chicks in their fucking tits when they're crowd surfing.
Oh yeah, Kurt Cobain.
Was it Kurt Cobain?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was like, I don't care for that.
No, that's the thing. All these bands, they're so like pro fucking women, pro fucking, if they see any shit from the stage, they'll stop it and be like, beat that guy's fucking ass.
Oh, wow.
Well, the Turnstile show we went to the other day, he would do like a fast song, big mosh, and then I think like on purpose, they would do a more chill song.
Right,
would mellow out.
Right.
And he kept being like, is everybody okay?
Yeah.
Because it was so many, it was an insane amount of people.
Where was that?
Yeah. Brooklyn it was a Brooklyn Steel, yeah.
I like Brooklyn Steel as a venue.
It's great.
It's great.
Dude, there was a band.
It's all floor, too, so it would go well for a mosh pit.
Yeah.
There was a band, still a band, Bad Luck 13, Ride Extravaganza from Delaware. They had a guy named Terrible Tim who would wear a hood with the eyes cut out and have a bat with barbed wire around it.
Holy
going
shit.
Into the pit.
What?
Boxing
with barbed
gloves
wire
and nails.
Around it?
They'd throw M80s in the crowd, lock the door, throw a pig's head in the crowd. They got Hellfest canceled. They fucking rule. Listen to the song Homicidal. It'll get you going, brother.
Wait,
yeah,
one
I
dude?
Used to go to these shows terrified.
Yeah.
I was told that if you looked at a guy wrong, they would pick you out and beat the shit out of you. So the very first hardcore show I went to, I was like, should I wear a cup? Like, I was so nervous.
Oh, yeah. A cup is actually a good idea.
Yeah.
I got to do my impression of me and Kevin Christie going. I know it's not hardcore and punk. What is this a group, hardcore, punk, and ska? Is that like a genre?
Ska, ignore ska.
No.
Ignore
don't
ska.
Ignore ska.
It seems the complete opposite, like vibe-wise.
Yes.
It seems so friendly and light.
Ska is friendly, positive. Unity is the thing that brings them all together. All these bands are about unity and coming together. Ska is very happy, positive. Lyrics are uplifting. There's Christian ska bands that I used to listen to, and I brought...
It's Christian everything.
I brought in Every New Day by Five Iron Frenzy as a prayer when it was my turn to lead prayer in my Christian scripture class in high school. Anyway, ska, I have a ska ring. Dude, ska's the best. It's
accessible punk.
Accessible punk would be like pop punk. It's like I've thought of it as like, I don't
know. Pop punk, yeah, maybe. Like Blink, almost.
Dude, they had anti-racist action shows. They had, like, ska is very much about, like, bringing people together. And because it came from, you know, Jamaica and everything, it always pays respect to its roots of, you know, the Jamaican working class struggle and stuff like that. Because there are different waves of ska. Like, most ska was, like, fighting racism and all this shit. But the music was so bad, people were like, we'd rather have racism than listen to what you guys are saying.
But also, it's like horn-based more than... It's like a
horn-based
punk, right?
Yeah.
What, Bad Brains, how they're half reggae and half... What is that? Is that related to ska?
They have
like reggae and...
They had reggae influences. Yeah, they were a Rastafarian hardcore punk band that like revolutionized hardcore and punk.
When I was in the Napster days, probably too early for you.
I got a cease and desist from Metallica for Napster.
Nice, dude. Yeah. Frame that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was like, I would look for like covers, and it was punk and ska. If you go punk's covers of whatever songs, it would have a lot of ska. And if you had ska covers, it would have a lot of punk.
Yeah, it was
Me
great.
Me First and the Gimme Gimmes were just
they
like,
were fantastic.
Yeah, they were the best.
But it was like all covers, or one whole album of covers.
Yeah. Yeah. Newfound Glory did a cover album. Whatchamacallit? My ska band started out with covers. That's like, I think that's how a lot of bands get started, general, is by like, right? Covering, yeah, totally. And then they find their own.
You're,
shit.
In your ska band, the kid who played the horns, no. Was he a horn kid or was he a punk kid? You
he's
know
a horn
mean?
Kid that turned into a punk
yeah,
kid.
Yeah, okay, wow. So that's what's happening. Yeah. It is like suburban kids, their mom send them to go play the horn for yeah. the orchestra.
He's like, I'm not going to give you guitar because that's rock and roll. And that's
yeah. yeah, and they're like, I'll find a way.
Gets,
find
he
a way
goes in. To a punk show and he's like, you know, gets yeah. on stage and they're like, what do you play, man? And he's like, the horn, and they're like, all right. And
well, so it's not created. A marching band, so we'll yeah. find yeah. something for you.
It's like a marching band with an attitude that's like mad at its parents, you know.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So how did you guys get into it? Because I just heard, let me say, I just heard this song on the radio for the first time in a while, 18 in Life by Skid Row.
Oh, yeah.
No. We Are the Youth Gone Wild. That's what it was. And I just picture these whites, these like, 20-year-old white kids going, we are the youth gone wild. That pump fist. And yeah, it's like, yeah, yeah. What are you angry about, you suburban kids?
Dude, that's why they're angry.
That's a common misconception, because hardcore was basically, New York hardcore is basically the parallel to hip-hop in the Bronx. It was people coming together, kids coming from their homes. There would be these matinee shows at CBGB's, and they'd all show up on Sundays. They'd come from broken homes. They'd come from shit backgrounds. They came from the mundanity of suburban life, and they'd all come together for a place for them to like converge and dance and get their aggression out and hang out. It was like a very positive thing for people to meet up and hang out. And right. I think it was.
But then, but there's other ways to meet up and hang out without seeming like you're a fucking angry malcontent.
Well, what about what about straight edge? Straight edge gets involved because people are supporting
yeah,
each other.
Edge is part of it also.
Again, it goes in levels. Like initially, hardcore and punk, when it was just like punk, was people just feeling this visceral reaction to the music and dancing around and letting it like. Almost like African tribal music of like feeling the beat and like responding.
Yeah, being
but because
moved
it was
spirit.
Like up tempo, hard, fast, they would just dance that way. And then eventually in like the early 90s, it got sort of like violent for violence sake. And they would be these like hardcore gangs of like guys. It would like be it was like tough guy hardcore, you know, because when the breakdown hits, you just want to fucking throw a fist. But that's a common misconception that it's like, what do you have to be angry about? It's like, what do we all have to
be
angry
about? Well, the Ramones
about?
And all of that. I mean, that's a whole...
Ramones, yeah, they didn't seem
that's
angry.
That's a suburban... But that's the punk trajectory.
But, yeah. But it punk, evolved to this faster-paced thing.
Punk doesn't seem as rageful as an audience member.
Punk is like rebellious. We didn't mean to be born in a cul-de-sac, but yet here right. we
yeah,
are,
yeah,
and we
yeah.
still
well,
have all these feelings. And
I read something a long time ago that like the West Coast punk, like Noah is NoFX from there, or is NoFX
mm-hmm.
NoFX right? So they were from a discontentment of like everything is nice, every day is 70,
yeah,
and we do. My parents are still together.
I yep. think
and it's like it's fine, and I'm bored
families.
As fuck.
Yeah,
yeah,
and so it's like you took away our Vietnams. We yeah. have nothing to rebel against.
Totally.
And so now it's like we're just floating.
Well, the Ramones.
Maybe that's actually what all the fucking social justice is now, where it's like about like all the rage
stagnation.
And cancel culture. Where
yeah.
it's like
if
we have
you
nothing
go
to really
back,
protest.
If
so, like,
you go back and listen to that music, it was discussing all the things that are happening today. Like if you go back
Trump?
And listen to this band called The Pilfers, the lead singer Cooley Ranks has these songs about like coming together and everyone, you know, we're letting these things divide us, la la la, and it's like.
Yeah, the
it's,
white
it's
guy
just...
song by NoFX, that one pertains to him.
Don't Call What's... Me White.
Yeah, Don't Call yeah. Me White.
Don't
yeah.
Call Me White.
Well,
that
NoFX
one?
Has an
go?
Album called White Trash, Two Heebs and a Bean.
I remember that.
Yeah.
That was came out when I was in college.
Yeah, I jerked off to Heavy Petting Zoo because they had a picture of a woman's boobs with her nipples pierced.
We all jerked off to the Blink-182 girl with the...
Oh, my yeah. God. Yeah.
Wait, what was the song you said before that? It's okay.
What? Don't Call Me White?
Don't Call Me White.
Yeah. What should we call it? Oh... what was I saying?
I think you were saying you
something.
You get into punk. What happens is you hit puberty
anymore,
and everything
dick.
Goes insane, and then you start listening to punk music, and it all of a sudden matches the tempo of your thoughts.
Yeah,
and it's the ultimate relief. I remember listening to hardcore and punk as like a 14-year-old and falling asleep to it like so
wow.
well.
Wow.
Yeah, because it was just chaos in my head. It was just like and then
so it matched.
Yeah.
So it was able to be like soothing because it matched. It's like
yes,
you're right. It is a thing. I got into it like 21 in college, but an underage 21.
Yeah.
You know, like an undeveloped 21. But it was like oh this
And at 14, for like a normal person, I could see that being like, I'm just starting to feel like I'm not part of this.
Yeah. Yes, totally.
And at the same time, a lot of the lyrics are talking about like hardcore life things. And then when you match that, like rap and hip hop talks about these like very hardcore, rough settings, but like it's to like a beat. And it's like sometimes it can be like chill or like whatever. But then when you talk about the same things and you add like a fucking breakdown or like a fucking killer guitar, it just unleashes this thing in you that just you want to explode. And like the Ramones, they, I mean, 53rd and 3rd is about turning tricks on 53rd and 3rd to get more speed. You know, because Dee Ramone was like a fucking speedhead. So they were all like drug addicts. And that's what a lot of their songs were.
The Ramones was interesting because they did it in a real poppy way. Yeah. And so the stuff like We're a Happy Family, which it sounds almost like that Bruce Springsteen song, The Born on the 4th of July, where I was like, oh, it's pro-America. Yeah. Like, you got to listen harder.
Yes.
And that song by the Ramones is also like, listen harder. Yep. They're not a happy family.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my brain is hanging upside down. I remember listening to that and being like, my brain is upside down. That is what it feels like.
Yeah.
Wow.
Beat on the brat. I'm the brat and I get hit.
Yeah.
You know?
Green Day, too, really saved me in some 15-year-old times. Yeah,
early
totally.
Green Day?
Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, totally. Well, early Green Day, what's interesting about that is they came from a place called 924 Gilman Street, which
in Berkeley?
In Berkeley, yeah. Which was basically like a garage hall that this band.
Oh, that's a venue.
Yeah. That this band Operation Ivy started in, and they were only around from them. 87 to 89. And
Operation
Ivy
was 2 years?
2 years. That's
wow,
it.
Wow, I see their
That's
stuff it. Everywhere.
Yes.
What's that iconic cover? It was like,
yeah.
It was like
the
Energy EP.
The Energy EP of the guy.
It was like this, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow. I have a shirt with that guy, but it's me with a cigarette, and it says Ian Fine.
You love co-opting other people's hard work.
No.
Oh, the bald guy, the guy with the mohawk, and he's dancing. Yeah.
Let's get that tattooed.
I'm not getting that tattoo.
I will.
Okay.
But they were around for 2 years.
How about this? It's a penis, but it's got, so the head of the dick has got like two eyes. So it's like a human, you know? It's got
it needs to look like Ian. It has to have the mustache and the cigarette.
Yeah, okay, cigarette. And then the on the base of the penis. So it's like head would be the head.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Two eyes, mustache, cigarette. And then at the bottom, he's got a pussy.
Nice.
I don't know.
Nice.
Yeah.
Throw it out there. If anybody's a designer.
That should be the name of our punk band, the Pussy Dicks.
It's not bad.
Yeah. We're from England.
We both have Misfits tattoos. That's my,
Yeah, totally. We both have 138 tattooed on us. 138 right here. And
mine's,
you got it
mine's
on your
under
arm.
Here.
Oh, wow.
Oh, we're at 500 patrons for the podcast.
Now we have to get the matching tattoos.
Which means we have to get matching tattoos.
How about that Operation Ivy tattoo?
Your
face.
Oh, my God. We can get the product of the incendiary tattoo.
What's that?
I'll get incendiary.
What is that?
If you want to hear a band that'll make you fucking want to punch really your neighbor, listen to Incendiary. They're a hardcore band from Long Island.
Give me one song.
The product is you.
Okay.
Family tree.
You. You know what is that about capitalism?
Yeah.
About Facebook?
About all that shit.
About
I'm
Facebook?
Telling you. Get into this shit.
Just has beef
They've
with
been
Facebook.
Talking
is this about,
about
Facebook?
What's going on for years.
Well, they say like if Facebook's not charging you, then you're the product. The product is you.
Yeah. There it is.
But Incendiary?
Yeah.
They rule.
Wait, what's the name of your podcast?
Being Ian.
Together.
Yes.
What?
Being Ian.
Being Ian.
And you're on that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he
She's
made it before I.
Oh, okay.
I made it before her, and
is
I
it
got.
Being Ian? At some point, I'm just throwing it out there. Being Ian featuring Jordan Jensen.
Well, it was Being Ian with Jordan.
I think it should be me and Ian.
Mess up.
Yeah, but then it's people go, me and Ian. Me, how do you spell what? Men, Ian?
Me and Ian.
Yeah. But it'll get people talking. No, I got the lead singer of the Lumineers to do the theme song. I wrote the lyrics.
That doesn't seem like it fits at all.
It.
I mean, cool for the Lumineers.
I contain multitudes, Ari. So I got this done, and it was my like B and Ian, and then
and
Jordan,
the chorus is literally B and Ian over and over again.
And then Jordan is my best friend, and she came on, and we had so much fun that we were like, let's fucking do this.
Jordan
and then,
Jensen.
Yeah,
she's Jensen. Actually on an episode of Skeptic Tank this week.
Yeah. Really?
Check it out.
Get out.
Sucks. That's crazy.
And then it was too late because it was already all this shit. And
you can't go
you
back to the Lumineers
it.
Guy. I'm like, can you do more high
yeah,
level
yeah,
work
yeah,
for
yeah,
free
yeah.
for me?
Hey, I know you're on a stadium tour, but can you do me another favor?
He plays
it's really nice that he did that, though.
It really
it's
is.
He's incredible.
Sick.
He's
they
a
play,
con-
they
such
play,
a kind man and a
Josh
good friend.
Josh Blue has a fucking cabin, like a state cabin in Colorado. like, and he's got like multiple cabins on there. It's just got this, and he's got a little stage, and it goes. Sometimes we just party, and the Lumineers will take the stage and just play for.
It's amazing.
Me and 20 friends,
dude. Holy they're shit. The nicest. They're such cool guys, and what I love about them is that they started in the New York, New Jersey like bar show scene, and that's really? Why I love musicians because
really?
There's a lot like of like there's a lot of like links and connection between comedians and musicians in that we all start out playing to five people, playing to no one, going to these shit gigs, you're in a van, you're traveling yeah. around, and then eventually you get bigger and bigger and you find your voice, you find what you're working on, and that's how I met Wes. He was at Greenwich Village Comedy Club, and there were seven people there, and all the comics are going up, and they're like, the Lumineers are here, I'm so sorry, this is terrible. And I went up, and I was like, is the guy for the Lumineers really here? I was in a ska band in high school, I get it. Anyway, and I just played like the room was fucking packed, like very like high energy, whatever, and he dug it, because he was like, that reminds me of what we used to do. We'd play for four people, and we'd fucking sing our hearts out, and then we just became friends.
Dude, I saw at Bonnaroo, we went to see Slayer. Jay wanted to see him. And
wait, Slayer played Bonnaroo?
Yeah. They'll have an occasional older band, Third Eye Blind. Like, love they don't Third quite fit, but it's like way too late. But it's like, they're like, eh, there'll be some old people in here. There's five stages. Just
that's
get,
nice.
Get somebody. Yeah.
That's cool.
So Slayer played. They also had like Lamb of God, which is more modern, yes. but like whatever. But Slayer started and they go, hey, we know we're not the age group for this. We get it. You guys yeah. aren't fans. Here we go. And then for 59 and 30 seconds, they just fucking
really?
Yes. That's
yeah. sick. They went to like win
I
votes.
I love it.
Yeah. I was in there fucking dancing on people's heads.
Yeah.
It was great.
That's was
great.
Was the audience really young?
The audience was young, but they also, Slayer has a name that's above their level of fame.
Yes.
Like totally. Everyone knows the Slayer.
So everybody went in and was like, oh, cool. Let's go see Slayer. That'll be yeah. cool.
Right, I'm right, right, right.
I've heard of them. Like the fucking 18-year-olds are wearing Pink Floyd shirts. Like, you don't yeah. even know this band.
Yeah.
Or Nirvana shirts or whatever.
Thrasher. I love that.
Yeah, Thrasher's another one.
Yeah.
And so they did go and they got into it. They were like, we know we're supposed to mosh here.
I love that. That's awesome.
We saw the worst show ever. We saw.
Oh my God.
Bowling for Soup.
We saw Bowling for Soup, I remember the Aquabats, them too. And Less Than Jake.
It was bad. It was
Why?
Incredibly bad.
I used to like Less Than Jake.
Dude, I like them still, but man, they were phoning it in, kind of, and then
oh,
fucking...
I left. I left.
Really?
Yeah, I left.
I left, wow. too. Fucking...
It was like a cartoon. Wow. It was like a
Bowling for Soup sucked ass.
It was so
They played for
up.
Like over an hour. The Aquabats played for over an hour. Then Less Than Jake came out. We're all just like, come on, man. You should have been here like 2 hours ago.
Yeah, Less Than Jake was okay. But
I had fun dancing.
Yeah.
I had fun hopping around.
Oh, it was rough. It was real rough.
Really?
It's also rough to just be like, oh shit, I was like 13 and thinking I had a Bowling for Soup poster, and this is what I was listening to, being like,
dude,
yeah.
this bitch,
back
she
it.
Comes, she goes, oh, Bowling for Soup, great. And we get in, and she goes, who are these guys? I go, it's Bowling for Soup.
Crazy. And then I ran into Marcus Monroe, and he was like, how was the Bowling for Soup thing? And I was like, horrible. And he was like, that guy's my really good friend. And I was like, oh. You got to tell him to.
Dude,
know,
I
want to
find pictures
shapled.
Of us as like little punk kids.
Yeah, mine have all been like burned by me.
Really?
Yeah, totally. I mean, I was a huge fat mall goth. That was huge. But I think I have some.
Did you guys get into Social D though?
Yeah. Eh.
That helped me in LA. My friend was way into them, and they used to play the House of Blues, which is across the street from the store. And so, like, we knew somebody used to hang out at the store, worked like. Books at the House of Blues, so he's always like, I can sneak you over if it's not sold out.
No shit.
Or we'd see people leaving and be like, hey, can I get your wristband?
Mike Ness. Oh, that's great.
Yeah, and then we go for encores all the time. But I remember seeing this little like 12-year-old kid.
Yeah.
And he got him up on stage, he's wearing a jean jacket, he's got a little mohawk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's like, he's my little next generation punker. And he goes, you wanna do it? He goes, yeah, and he fucking runs out and jumps out of the crowd. And it was just like, that kid is cool.
Yeah. Well, dude, that's how. Have you ever heard of Agnostic Front?
I've heard that name too.
Yeah, they are a hardcore punk band from the early New York City hardcore scene. They are like responsible for like the whole kind of New York City hardcore takeover. Do you know Niagara Bar?
Yep.
Yeah.
That used to be the old A7. That's where Agnostic Front played.
Oh, that
Bad
makes a lot
Brains,
of sense.
Warzone, all these. That
you feel
was
that when
the
you walk
spot.
In that place.
Yes.
Yeah, totally.
Huh?
Bad Brains is DC.
Yes, Bad Brains DC, banned from DC.
I think DC had one of the best underground punk scenes, right? I
mean, really?
It was heavy political, but yes.
Henry Rollins is from right outside DC.
Yeah, so is Ian MacKaye, and they were friends.
From Bad Brains. No.
Minor Threat.
Minor Threat,
yes.
That's right. Dude, I was doing a podcast with Henry Rollins in
Edinburgh.
And as we're talking, it's some cafe, some coffee shop, and we're talking. He was like, "Is that Ian MacKay?" And it was not. He goes, but he goes, "I'm sorry, I think I see my friend." and it just wasn't.
Wow, yeah. He's I love that. Hit so many times.
Well, dude, Agnostic Front. So they were like a working class skinhead band. And that's what's fucked up too, is that the Nazis overtook the skinhead movement, because skinheads used to be working class, like blue collar people. And there's a the Sharps are skinheads against racial prejudice. And so it used to be this positive thing. And then
weren't skinheads just because they were like, they just had to buzz cut their hair because they're working like the factories?
Yeah.
I remember buying the belts that had the cross on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And people being like, that's Nazi propaganda. Me being like, I don't know what to do.
Right.
You're like, I'm definitely not wearing it for that reason.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like,
but dude,
you could
a
say
huge
it is,
part
but...
of like punk rock and everything was like beating Nazis. Nazis would come in. Yo,
and
when
you need
I was
them there, because otherwise who are you going to beat up? Who are you going to feel justified
when
over?
When I was 14.
How did it happen,
when
how
I was 14.
How did it happen? Was it New Order?
Yeah. When I don't know, but when I was 14, I punched a Nazi in the back of the head at the Westchester YWCA, and it was the coolest thing I had ever felt
in
my
life. You punched a Nazi?
How'd you know he's a Nazi?
How'd you know? Because
worker.
He was wearing Nazi shit. Okay. These Nazis showed up, and we all fucking pounded them, and I was 14 with braces and glasses and spiked hair.
But how did the punk scene, was it people were just like, fuck you, and somebody was
have
like,
have you ever
fuck
seen American
Jews,
History X?
Yeah.
You know that Nazi punk band?
Yeah.
Do you think that same disillusionment that the 14-year-old Jordan felt, that the Nazis, the Nazi youth were also like, felt the same? So they're both tapping into the same thing from these bands.
Yes, yes.
Right.
So like,
there's no way they were
like Nazi
rap.
Lyrics, but it's like a you don't belong lyrics.
Well,
we are the youth gone wild.
There were bands that spoke to us, and there were also bands that spoke to them. But the fucking Nazis would listen to the bands we liked and be like, oh, I'm going to go to that show. So they'd come out with their Nazi friends, and we're dressed in our fucking punk uniform. They're dressed in theirs, but we can see that they're fucking Nazis and fucking evil. You're not welcome here, so you're getting the shit kicked out of you.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like the sex offenders in jail. We're all pieces of shit.
And that was part of it. And the Nazis knew, like, we're going to go. These fucking idiots are going to try to start with us. We're going to get into a fight.
Dude,
just like soccer hooligans.
Right. There were, like, a lot of punk rock and hardcore dudes are responsible for stomping out, like, Nazi movements in different towns.
Literally stomping.
And as I was saying, you were saying, like, the little kid on stage, he was like, he's the next generation. Uh-huh. Agnostic Front, lead singer Roger Moret, he was responsible for, like, he's like the godfather of New York hardcore, right? He had a little brother, an 8-year-old kid named Freddie, and he would bring Freddie on stage, and Freddie would sing and fucking go nuts, and they would say that he acted like a madball. You know those madballs, right?
No.
They were like little toys with angry faces on them. You'd
throw
them and bounce everywhere.
Yeah.
So he would get on stage and like rock out. Everyone loved him. He would sing as 8 years old with Agnostic Front. People loved it. And then Freddie started Madball, which then took the crown from Agnostic Front and ushered in a new era of New York hardcore. And they brought more of like a violent kind of tough guy attitude to it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
How did you get into it? How'd you start going to shows and stuff? And how'd you like...
There was a place called No Radio in Ithaca that was a...
That's you're from upstate?
Yeah. That was a record store. And they would have these like... So I was like a little, you know, a kid in Ithaca. And then the Cornell kids, or the Ithaca College kids, were... A bunch of them were musicians. So they would come down and play these punk shows at No Radio. And I remember going to the first one and I got knocked out of this mosh pit and into the... between two record cases, and a big like arm just like reached in and threw me back into the crowd.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, I'm hooked on this forever. But I started listening to
you just
it.
Felt helpful. Like, you just pulled
it was
you out
awesome.
To safety.
It was
and
the Lord.
I was so scared because
it
was like, I was like, I don't know what to, I'm just stuck in here for the rest of the thing. And
isn't
then
it
just,
fun? Like that fear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then somebody always is looking out, and somebody will, if you get knocked, there's always somebody when you turn being like, and you're like, yeah.
It's hard though. You're on the ground and they're being pushed from behind. So they got about a second and a half to like stop everybody.
Yeah.
And then like try to pick you up, but then they're being pushed.
Right.
Because two back, as Travis Scott knows, has no idea what's going on up there.
The best is when someone loses a shoe and everyone's going crazy, and then you just see someone be like, shoe. And then
someone
comes
picks up a shoe.
Yeah, they pick up a shoe to announce like, shoe.
Can I show you my impression of me and Kevin Christie, my comic friend, yeah. going to see Andrew W.K.? Give me your glasses for a second.
Oh, boy. Don't Andrew break them.
Andrew W.K. rules.
Yeah. He rules.
He's Andrew the best. W.K. I want more
Jackass
of him.
Jackass is a main reason how I got into punk. That is what that
no really? Shit.
Yeah, totally.
So then me and we're in the back watching it at I think free tickets at House of Blues. And we're like, you want to go fucking mosh pit? We're like, yeah, let's go mosh
yeah!
pit. And then we both like, let's go. And we took two steps and we're like, hold on.
Yeah, totally.
Yes, yes.
Ian always okay, will be go. Like, will you take my fanny pack with my glasses? Yeah, and yeah. Like, okay, bye.
Your glasses are going to get knocked off and they will get broken.
Dude, when we went to Turnstile, I made someone hold my glasses and I just went to the pit. And then I went to a show a couple weeks ago and I hurt my back. Stage
oh, you're so old.
Well, remember we went to Turnstile and I was like, I'm not gonna mosh, I'll hang out with the girl. But then I did it the whole time, and then me, Feeney, Shane, Torres show up the next day at the Cellar. Ian is like crippled in it. You were like, I just got a massage. Mike's face is all
yeah,
swollen.
Yeah.
Shane
yeah,
is like dragging his leg.
It was great. But it's so cool, like when something, a lyric comes up that you know, like you'll put your arm around someone and you all sing it together and you'll hop up and the singer, it's very interactive. The singer will put the mic down and you all grab it and sing together.
Because you know, dude, there's something about music that everybody knows where it's like you're in this the same situation right now. We're all watching this band together.
Yeah.
So forget our differences. It's like I was at LCD, I think with Soder and Michelle and Viter, and we're fucked up on whatever. And I'm like jumping up and down, doing the white boy jumping up and down, and then you know you'll start moving forward or backwards. So you just put your hand on someone's
shoulders.
Totally,
yeah.
And then a guy turns and looks at you, and you just smile, and he's like, "Yeah, whatever."
Yeah.
It's like this isn't. You're not shoving me. You're just holding your place.
Yeah.
And then
or
it's like, I get it.
If you want to crown surf, you go to a stranger like, "Get me up." And
get me up. Right.
Oh, it's the best.
And lift your shoe. It's such a
get
communal
me up, get me up.
Thing.
Hey, get me up.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then
it's
you're part
the
of
best.
Their surf too.
Yeah.
Like okay.
Yes, and then when you get on stage and you stage dive, literally, it's a trust fall.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's amazing. I used to go to CBGB's and climb up on the bass amp and hang from the rafter, carry, and just drop down.
Yeah.
It was the best, dude.
The guy from KG Elephant would do that. He would love, I don't know if he still does, but he would love crowd. So at the end of all the sets, he would just get up on one of those, and he'd be like, keep playing, like, play the last
minute,
and then
he'd
just jump as high as he could.
The best is, okay, so if you have a mosh pit, which typically is like, women who can, you know, women who are 5'8" or over.
And heavy.
High. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, you know, and men. But then they'll toss up the little girls who are, like, really into it. They'll, like, get them in a surf so that they can, like, participate.
Yeah.
They'll get the shit kicked out of them.
Dude, the best is when you crowd surf up and the singer gives you the mic and you're crowd surfing
oh my
and
God.
You sing.
Oh, my God.
Like, dude, I'm telling you, it is such a communal, wonderful experience. And you find friends, and then there's people you know that you only see at shows, and like it's such a fun thing. I don't know what my life would have been like if I didn't have this growing up.
It's less sycophantic because of it too. Like if you go see another show, you're like, we worship this band and know the words, so we sing along. At hardcore shows, it's like we're all making this good.
You know what?
You're up there, and I could be up there. We're the same. You're a fan. I saw the singer at a show last week.
Comedy
as
fans
a fan.
Comedy fans are some of the regulars that come out to comedy shows in New York or LA or anywhere. They're like, we go to lots of shows.
Yeah.
We don't worship Sam Morril.
Yes.
But
he's
one of the guys we like.
Yes.
But we're there for a couple drinks.
Yes.
We'll talk to people outside afterwards, and we're all just like, oh, I've seen you before. Yeah. How many regulars did you see? Was it like a I don't know, where you were in Ithaca or where you were in Delaware?
Philly. Oh, always Philly. The same kids. Yeah, where you'd show up and you'd be like ready to get fucked up.
Yeah,
yeah, totally.
See faces.
Well, dude, my mom, God bless her, man. My mom was the fucking best, dude. She used to take me up to Philly when I was in like 6th, 7th grade, and we'd walk down the street and she'd take me into record stores, vintage shops, and she would take me and my friends to the TLA in Philly, drop us off. We would be in there, and then we'd come out, and she's talking to like a group of crust punks with like "fuck you" written on their shirt and piercings. And my mom's like, "These are my new friends." And like, dude, Gail's the shit, you know. And like one time, she came in to the TLA. We were all smoking cigarettes inside. My mom fucking stormed in, and in front of everybody, yanked us out by our ears for catching a smoke.
Ooh.
Yeah, hey. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, my very first fucking show, the Trocadero, Philadelphia, H2O, Saves a Day, Ensign, and I think Snapcase, maybe. I was told, you got to wear a cup. These gangs are going to beat the shit out of you. I'm 14, braces, glasses, spiked hair. I'm with my friend Andrew. We get out in line. We get out of the car. where we see people we know in line. They're like, come get with us. We're like, okay. So we're up. It's all these hardcore kids, Mohawks. All of a sudden, we see my mom's car pull up in front of everyone. She rolls the window down and goes, Ian, here's a roll of quarters in case you or Andrew gets hurt.
Aww.
And everyone was like, ew, you love your mom? You fucking fag. Yeah, because we had to use a payphone.
I remember dragging my mom to like Hot Topic and being and her being like, are you serious? You need these platform Frankenstein boots that are, and I'm like, just please.
Dude, I was coming back from France and I stopped at to get a whatever. Bandit, you do this every fucking week, dude. You're
Bandit.
In. You're in. You're not in and out. You're
it's
in.
It's so funny. Bandit, just look at her, call her a boy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She look won't even look face. At you.
She's like this.
And I was waiting at Universal Entry. What's it called? Global Entry. And lady was there. And she goes, my daughter, she just went all goth. And now the thing doesn't pick up her face. It can't recognize her face.
Yeah,
she
yeah, out. That's great.
And she's like some 14-year-old. Hi, guys. Today's episode of Ari Shaffir Skeptic Podcast is brought to you by 3chi.com. 3chi.com, the world's leader in Delta-8 THC products. If you don't know what Delta-8 is, it's drugs. It's THC. Get over it. It's just weed. They make gummies, tinctures, oils, vapes. I like the gummies. I've said this a bunch of times. I like them on planes. I like them at UFCs. If you're going into a long thing, the 3chi gummies, which is full of Delta-8 THC, gets you on this long road that's going to last you about 4 to 5 hours. And so you don't have to keep going outside. If you're at a family event, Thanksgiving's coming up, and you don't want to keep going out, they're going to smell the fucking weed on you. Well, don't worry about that. Not with 3chi. 3chi, the number 3chi.com. Use the promo code Ari at checkout. You get 5% off your order, which is pretty sizable, especially if you order as much as you're going to order. You're at Thanksgiving. Take a fucking 3chi gummy. And now your body's full of Delta-8 THC. Guys, it is not CBD. It won't make you feel better at all physically, but mentally, it'll make you check out. Fuck your family. Fuck your family. Courtesy of 3chi.com. That's right, you guys. 3chi.com, the world's leader in Delta-8 THC products. So that show I did. Hi guys. Today's episode of Ari Shaffir Skeptic is brought to you by Sheath Underwear. I told a story about shitting my pants. On stage at the Sheath stage at the Skankfest. And there was a giant Sheath sign behind me while I'm telling a story about shitting my pants. And the reason I say this, and I know Colonel Patton, who owns Sheath Underwear, I know it's all about putting your fucking dick in a pouch, you know, and so to separate your balls from your dick. You can get these underwear at sheathunderwear.com, but use promo code Ari, get sizable percentage off your order. I should actually ask. Let's pause this right now. Hey Siri, call Marissa. At sheathunderwear.com. Wait. Anyway.
Hey.
Hey, what's the promo code? What's the website for Sheath Underwear? I'm recording now. You can use this or not. But what's the promo code for Sheath Underwear? And it's Ari, but what's the website? Sheathunderwear.com, and how much do we get off?
Sheathunderwear.com. Promo code is Ari.
Yeah.
20% off your order.
20%? I got to talk to that guy. That's too much. But okay. All right. Thank you. Sheathunderwear.com, guys. It's 20% off your order. Can you believe that? 20% off your order. So I'm telling the story about shitting my pants and have everything fucking, this fucking pile of fucking dump in my pants in Australia. And I'm behind the Sheath Underwear car. And the reason I say that, because Sheath Underwear keeps shit in your pants, guys. These boxer briefs, they fucking hold everything in there. I first realized this when I was talking to Mark Norman at a pool in Austin, Texas, and I shit my pants. It wasn't a massive one, but it was enough. And I could get up and walk around because the tightness of around the leg, it's. I get it. You want to separate your balls from your dick and there's pouches for each, right? But the tightness of the leg holds a fucking dump into your Sheath Underwear. It's an underrated part of Sheath Underwear. And to be honest, it's an underrated part because in my world of drinking and drugging, shitting your pants is a fact of life. It's going to happen. You don't know when. But if you're wearing these sheath underwear, you can get home without it running down your legs. If it feels like cheese when it's running down your knees, it's diarrhea. But with sheath underwear, it won't be running down your knees, but it still will be diarrhea. Sheathunderwear.com. Use promo code Ari at checkout. Get 20% off your order on those fucking shit huggers. Now back to the episode. Bennett, come on.
What was it like for you, Jordan?
Good girl.
Yay. What was it like for you, Jordan, going to school dressed as like the thing you liked?
So I went to like the Democratic alternative community school for the, like I went to the hippiest school you could possibly go to. Yeah. So
you get made fun of if you dress normal.
Totally. I mean, we literally had like, you didn't have detention. You had community court where you would have to go and plead your case. Yeah, totally. And it was like the hippiest
community court.
Community
instead of detention?
Court. No
Shut
detention.
Up! That's so fucking terrible.
Like, that's wild.
It's like Montessori, but for young adults.
It's Montessori, but with no funding. That's literally what it was.
Wow.
And, I was the funny one, so I was like the fat funny kid, so people liked me for that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think that because I had the like vibrato of being like, I don't give a fuck what anybody says. I don't care that I'm, you know, that it didn't. I didn't get like bullied for it at all, but you know what? I did get the bullying that would happen was from real punks, and that like those kids. Like I remember having this hoodie when I was really young, and it had like it said "Punk's not dead" on it.
Yeah.
And this kid came up to me and was like, "Who says Punk's dead?" And I remember just being like,
"I don't know."
Fuck,
dude.
Someone must.
That,
say that
happened to me. I was 14, and I was like, "Anarchy." I had a wallet with the anarchy symbol, and I remember someone being like, "So what are you against?" And I was like,
I don't know. It just feels right.
You know, just like everything, man. Yeah. And I remember that
it's
day
so
I threw out the wallet.
Really?
I was like, it helped
dude,
me.
Dude, I got into skate fashion. Bobby Lee was into it. And just like, it was big in LA. And just like a wristband with monthly colored or whatever.
Yeah,
I saw skate
shirts.
They had the coolest illustrations. And I was wearing it with hanging out with my friends in Vegas, my normcore friends in Vegas. And somebody outside wherever the fucking pirates are, Treasure Island, I just walked by and heard somebody go, "Fucking poser," and I was so
poser
mad.
Was the
but
most
I was like,
"Painful
damn
word."
It. I mean, you're right. I can't even ollie.
Yeah,
yeah, you're 100% right,
totally.
And it hurt so bad.
We did that with airwalks in like sixth grade. Remember those
airwalks? Yeah,
dude, this kid came over. I didn't have a skateboard. He brought his, and he was like, "There's a girl in my neighborhood that said if you can ollie over a skateboard, she'll suck your dick." And I was in sixth grade, and I remember when that kid left, I kicked the door open to my mom's house. I was like, "Mom, I need to get a skateboard."
Why? Just get me the fucking
just
board. I can't talk to you
please,
about it.
Please, it's important for me.
It's a big thing in my life.
I remember the very first day of high school. So, like, I got into punk rock and like Scott. I was first into heavy metal and everything, and like Korn. And Friday nights there was this.
It is
cable.
A nice close.
Yeah,
it's like they're,
totally.
They're
Metallica.
Each other. Yeah,
there was a
yeah.
cable access show called The Tinks Vid Dream, and they would play all metal music videos. And it was after ECW, so my friend Rick would come over. We'd watch ECW, and then we watch a Tinks Vid Dream, and we'd find out about bands through that. And then I loved Danzig. I didn't know about the Misfits or anything. He was
me
doing
too. I like Danzig before Misfits. Yeah, totally.
Dude, he was doing an autograph signing at the Cherry Hill Tower Records. My mom took me and Rick, and I heard that he was in a band called the Misfits. So I asked if I could get that CD. I got it, listened to it, and I liked it, but he wouldn't sign any Misfits stuff. So I just had the CD. And I met Danzig. He was cool as fuck. He signed my guitar, taught me how to play a bar chord,
whoa.
Gave us tickets to his show. Asked us to come on his tour bus to look at it, but only asked my mom and not me and Rick.
Wow.
So I think Danzig wanted
Danzig
to fuck
Danzig tried
my mom.
To fuck your mom.
I
was
wish
cool?
Gail should... Danzig could have been my dad.
Wow.
Maybe he was.
But after that, I got into the Misfits from that, and then I just started going like deeper. And I used to hang out at a record store. My first job was at a record store. And I would go there and go, "Well, I like this." And the people go, "Well, if you like this, you'll like that. Listen to this."
Yeah, that's what you need. That's a good thing about record stores. They do help you find, because they're the coolest. They listen to everything. Even if they don't buy it, they still listen to it. So like, I know the subgenres. Like I talked to Duncan's wife. She's like, "I'm into gospel." And I've just started getting into gospel.
Gospel rules.
But it's all like, when you go to the gospel section, it's all like Mahalia, it's like R&B-ish.
Yeah.
But I like Tammy Wynette gospel. Mm. So I'm like, what's the subgenre?
Yes.
I gotta know, because you can't just tell from a cover of a
dude,
record.
Dude, the coolest shit about this stuff was finding a record that you liked and then going to the band thank you section, and when they listed other bands that they thanked, I'd go, mm-hmm. oh, that's a cool name. I want to check them out.
That's a good idea.
You know?
Yeah. We had the record store where it was like a 150-year-old like hippie dude with long hair, and he had everything cataloged in his brain, and you would take it to him and he'd be like, this is what...
We had a guy like that. Burt CDs and tapes.
Yeah.
I do love, I'm looking for Lauryn Hill, Miseducation of Lauryn Hill, and and you just go like, hey, do you have any Lauryn Hill? Like, which one? And I mean, this is a record store.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And multiple records, same shit. Yeah. You have 50,000 records.
It's
in
like
here.
A bookstore, but for cool
and like,
people.
Which one? I'm like, Miseducation, and they go, yeah, we don't have that. I'm like, damn, you're not even looking. You just know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's one you don't. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's like a preciousness to each one that's different. Yeah. And remember the FYE?
What is that?
FYE, the CD.
The store.
Place? Yeah.
Do you remember the wall? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Did you have the wall where you put the sticker on the back of the CD?
The wall.
No, not the wall album. There was a store called The Wall, and their big thing was you put a sticker on the back of the CD. So if the CD breaks, you get another replacement CD. And after 10 stickers, you get a free CD. It was incredible.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, FYE, I remember that now. And Chemo Records was started in my
neighborhood. I gotta turn my autism down. I'm sorry. I am. Every time something comes up, I get so excited, and I just want to like spurg out on the topic.
What was the sex situation in hardcore and punk bands? Like, was there a lot of fucking?
For us personally, for me, non-existent.
Yeah, I don't think it was a big part of it.
It's mostly men, right?
No,
it's mostly. I would say it's like
not. It's mostly women.
Well, my very first day of high school, I wore an Operation Ivy shirt to like throw out a flag, hoping that someone would see that and be like, oh, be my friend. And that's how I got in my band. The lead singer saw that and I was like, yeah, I just figured out this song on guitar for Less Than Jake. And he's like, you play guitar? You want to join a ska band? And I was like, yeah. And if I didn't wear that shirt, my entire high school
that doesn't
experience...
have to do with sex.
Yeah, I was going to say, how's this turn to
listen,
sex?
Listen,
hey,
there
I'm
was
keeping
a senior
on track,
girl who liked Operation Ivy that started talking to me, and she would like flirt with me, but I was so like, I didn't understand. So I just thought she like wanted to be a friend. But there were scene girls that would be around, and unfortunately, a lot of them would use sex as currency to hang out in the boys' club.
In the cool circles.
And I think that's why so many lyrics are about like, you stabbed me in the back, because it's about like their girlfriend getting fucked by like their friend.
Didn't the woman, what's her name, from Distillers, didn't she leave? Remember Distillers?
Yeah.
Yes.
She's so hot.
She's so cool. Brody?
Yeah.
Brody Dahl.
Oh my God. My friend is on tour with them.
Really?
Yeah. Are they still together?
Yeah.
The Irks?
Oh, I would love to see them.
No. Thick.
Oh.
But didn't she leave somebody from a band for somebody else from another band? Like
Tim Armstrong from Rancid, maybe?
She left him.
I love Rancid.
She left the guy from Rancid.
He
to
was
go with some, to
in
go with
Operation
somebody.
Ivy.
What?
The lead singer from Rancid was
is
the guitarist
Operation
from
Ivy.
Operation
no,
Ivy.
No. She left him and started fucking like somebody even bigger than Rancid.
Oh, yeah.
Who was that?
I don't know.
Damn. But yeah, there must be a lot of that where it's like, I'm just in this for the currency. I mean, I'm sure they still feel love and shit, but it's like, this is temporary.
Yeah, but also like chicks in band. Like, I mean, it's the same thing with comedy. Comics fuck each other.
Olivia
People
Munn,
bands
she was like
fuck
fucking a fucking legit celebrity, and then was like, well, Harry Styles is around. So
yeah.
I'm trading up.
Yeah, it never. I remember being into punk and what me and my best
not
friend
Olivia
at the time
Munn.
Were into it,
no.
And she went.
Olivia Wilde.
Yes.
She went down the avenue of like fucking seedy dudes who are also into punk and doing coke all the time.
Yeah.
And I remember going down the avenue of like, this is going to be like in more of the like straight edge type way. I mean, I wasn't straight edge. I was drinking.
I
but
was.
In more of like a, this is like a religious thing for me and school is important and all of these things are important.
Yeah,
but this is like my private haven.
Yeah,
yeah.
So
but it was like there was the like slut, just like on within kids in high school there was the like slutty punk avenue and then there was like the this is my passion.
It's also like it's not even really like slutty, it's just like, hey, we're all pretty cool and we fuck and
yeah
so these are the people
yourself.
Around me so that's who I'm fucking.
Well, there was just in high school, there was a self-destructive punk group. There was like they would like cut together. They would fuck each other.
I was friends with those kids and I stopped being friends with them. Yeah, it fucking weirded me out.
There's a cutter subgenre of punk?
Oh, yo, big
cutter,
time.
Sex, sex for coke.
Drugs, alcohol, straight edge. I went the straight edge route.
And I remember being like, we can be punk and go to college. I remember saying those words. And
that's why
like,
you like DC hardcore. Yeah, that's why you like DC punk. Totally. That was like the college punk kid.
Yeah. And I remember saying those words and being like, it's not, you know, and
it's not
you would be, I was talking to one of my buddies the other day and he was like, are you brushing your teeth? Because we were on the phone. And I was like, yeah. And he was like, that's not punk rock. And I was like, you got to get it together.
Dude, that's why I like
ska. Yeah, you can't
ska.
Do every moment of your life being like an anti.
That's why I like ska, because ska to me is a feeling, something that's cool is ska. Something you like is ska. This type of music taught me to be myself and not listen to anyone else. And there's a guy in Philly named Joe Hardcore who's like,
what a crazy name to get.
The
randomly.
Godfather of Philly hardcore punk rock. This dude has been in the scene forever, been in bands. Now he's like a concert promoter. He's in charge of This Is Hardcore Fest in Philadelphia. Like, he has helped put Philly on the map, just like dedicated his whole life to this. But what I was so like really was cool about him was that he would just wear like whatever he would wear in like when he would go to a show, and he'd wear the same thing on stage. And it made me feel like I didn't have to dress in like a uniform to be involved in this.
When David Cross started doing it, he was one of the first ones to be like, I'm just going to wear jeans and a t-shirt. Like, you have to wear a sport jacket.
Yeah.
But like that's the Beastie Boys would do that too, where they would just get up and they were just like normal looking dudes.
Yeah.
They would never...
But that's what I really liked about hardcore and punk and ska, because I remember I would think that, because there was a, do you remember the time when it was like, everybody had gauged ears, a messenger bag, the roll dickies, the Sacconis. And I
Social D.
I legitimately put that outfit on and I missed a concert because I felt so sick that I didn't feel myself. I was like, I feel like an idiot. This isn't me. And I had like a curly afro and glasses. So I like didn't fit in.
Do you remember SLC Punk?
Yes.
Yeah. And that one guy, Mark. Wow.
Yeah.
Mark was like, Mark wore a polo shirt. He didn't look like us.
Yes,
but he
was Jason Segel.
He was the biggest ass kicker.
Yes. Yeah. I thought that was the coolest shit.
That movie like changed my life. It was crazy.
Have you seen it recently?
I haven't. It doesn't hold up.
We got to watch it.
Really?
It's fucking
the guy
hilarious.
From Scream. I remember him like, damn, this guy
Matthew Lillard.
He spits a lot.
Yeah. Shooter McGavin is his dad.
I fainted when he punched the mirror. I passed right out.
Oh, yeah. Heroin Bomb.
Totally.
Right?
The guy who, Somebody drinks and does aspirin, which I remember, and they died, which freaked me out forever.
Devin Sawa is in that.
Oh, really?
And he overdoses on acid.
I love with these things, like, the writers have never done the shit they're writing about.
Yeah.
It's like, you overdose on acid. Fuck off.
Fucking Sid Barrett.
He just went crazy.
Yeah, because these drugs can unlock latent mental illness.
Yeah. It's not overdosing.
Well, it's...
You fucking smoke a joint. It's not overdosing. It's just unlocking the fucking...
Nothing has unlocked mental illness for me more than weed. Acid, mushrooms, those unlocked people.
Jay Fodd happened to him with just weed. He didn't overdose. It's just like he was prone to fucking schizophrenia.
Oh, and that's why he's really?
Who?
Yeah. Jay Fodd.
John F. O'Donnell. Yeah.
And then he went crazy and thought he was, you know, the FCIA was after him and just basically regular
shit. Dude, that...
It's not an overdose is what I'm saying, though. It's just like...
It's an elongated overdose. I guess, right?
Overdose is when something shuts down your body from too much of it.
Yeah, this isn't too much. You could do a small amount of acid.
That's why I don't like weed, dude. It's unlocking so much mental illness in people, and people are like, it's no big deal, man. It's just weed. It's like, no, it's turning you into a fucking schizophrenic lunatic.
The views...
That's why so many of these fucking lunatics are on the street pushing people and going crazy, because they're all just smoking weed all the time.
The views of the guests of this podcast do not necessarily represent the podcast itself. Yeah. Smoke weed every day.
Hey, man. Straight edge till rehab.
Okay, let's talk about a couple things. One, is hardcore, is that closer to metal? Or what is hardcore? I don't really understand what that is.
As in closer to metal from punk?
Yeah. Like, what is, when I hear hardcore, I just feel like it's like thrasher metal.
No.
But is that not right?
It's hard because you can't say it's even faster. I mean, I think what makes the hardcore is the amount of, it's the singing, first of all. That's the main thing,
yeah,
right?
A lot of hardcore,
screamo?
A lot of hardcore has breakdowns and like gang vocals and kind of like a more of a rhythm to it.
If I was to go, if I was to be like, I want to listen to punk, what that would mean is I want to listen to something that's like, ba-na-na-na-na-na-na, and somebody's singing like that. If I want to listen to hardcore, it's that I want to listen to somebody going, and we fucking will suck your bro. It's like demonic versus like.
I wouldn't say hardcore is demonic.
There is a demonic, there is not demonic, but like there is like a darkness.
What if
hardcore
is
more like. And punk is more like
both are fast, both are, and I would say yeah, punk is like more it's like protesting almost. It's like a protestant thing. So it's like we're actively against this. And hardcore is more like it's not
you
protesting.
Turned your back on me and now I'll show you what. Like,
yeah, it's
like
way. Yeah, it's more revenge music.
Yeah, totally.
If you had to give me a song, if I had to show somebody like, hey, here's what hardcore is, and like in a song, like this is really it. So like if you say like,
I'd probably show you Hate Breed.
If you say like, what's punk, and you give me like Time of Your Life by Green Day, like that would not be.
No.
That would not be it.
No.
You know? But like God Save the Queen, I'd be like, this is punk. This is like classic punk. You can hear it. You know?
We are 138 by the Misfits.
That's hardcore.
Yeah.
No. Okay. But what's
Last Caress
as punk?
Yeah. Where Eagles Dare? Punk. Those are Misfits.
What's a hardcore song? Like if you had to show somebody this, listen to this, and you'll get hardcore.
Is Worlds Apart by Hatebreed? Fucking
Hatebreed. That's hardcore.
Demonstrating My Style by Madball. Yeah. Demonstrating My Style. Set It Off by Madball.
I'm trying to think of the most quintessential.
5 Year Plan by H2O. What?
I'm trying to think of the most quintessential ones. Like, what is, like, the most isolated to one? Like, Agent Orange, I would say, is hardcore.
Punk rock.
You think it's punk?
Yeah.
I think it has...
Agent Orange, punk rock.
You don't think there's crossover?
I think it influenced hardcore. Gorilla Biscuits. Well, it all depends on what, like, year.
Right. If you say reggae, it's like, everyone goes Bob Marley, but, like, actual... That's like, that was... 40 years ago. That's not doing
it
like
really
that anymore.
Depends on the year, man, because it evolves. And also,
the most
Bob
hardcore
Marley,
thing I'm listening to right is Ikulu. I don't know if
they're
really Ceremony.
Ceremony's a band?
Yeah, Cerebral. They
Dude, I got back into E Town Concrete. You ever listen to them?
Think of one song.
What about Culture Abuse? Is that hardcore?
No, Culture Abuse is more like indie punk. Ceremony's interesting because they are like deep, like Converge is like hardcore, but that's more on the terms of like metal. Do you like Converge?
I don't know.
God, I want to play all these songs for you.
I know,
so
I want to play them too.
I want you to give me one song that would really demonstrate what hardcore is.
Demonstrating My Style by Madball.
You know what's a
agree
good...
Agree or disagree? You don't know that.
You're not really into Madball, are
let's,
you?
Let's
Can
look
I
at
play
it.
A
yeah,
fucking
play it.
Song for you?
What about...
What?
Man, what's the band?
Terror.
Fuck.
Fucking.
Fuck.
What?
I have one. Play that one.
Hi, guys. If you're looking for a great scam this holiday season, why not check out two things? One, my special, Ari Shaffir, Jew. It's on YouTube.com right now. YouTube.com/Ari Shaffir. Go in there, watch it, post about it. Multiple times to many friends. Tell your friends over and over and over again. Guys, I know I've said this in the past, but check out Ari Shaffir's special. It's the best special that's ever been recorded. Say that, even if you don't believe it, but you might believe it. It's fucking good. I'm going to be appearing I guess it's coming out November 2nd. I'm going to be appearing in Philadelphia, Portland, Dallas, Tampa, Salt Lake City, San Jose, Pittsburgh, all coming up. Check me out. I do stand-up comedy, and it's a new hour, and you're going to love it. Let's get back to the episode. Guys, I'll be in Salt Lake City in January, as well as Pittsburgh, and doing a Greatest Hits in Denver in February. Get tickets now to Ari Shaffir.
I don't know if I think that Turnstile feels not hardcore.
What does it feel like?
Dude, they were
hardcore. They're pop hardcore, but they used to
be. Like Metallica used to be punk.
Oh my God,
metal.
Drain. Drain is hard. Drain is ultimate.
What about Drain? Do you know Drain?
Drain. Yeah. California Cursed. Holy shit.
That's hardcore. A Day to Remember would be hardcore, but then there are ones where it is... The weird thing is you can have a song that isn't hardcore at all, but then they have a hardcore
song. Yeah, sure.
No, no, no. They have a hardcore like 30 seconds within the song, and that still makes the band hardcore. Like, they
really?
You know what I mean? Like, you can have a band. I mean, like, A Day to Remember is like this, where the whole time they're singing with this like soft boy band
like
voice. I know. But then they'll have like 30 seconds where they're like, whoa.
I'll just lay it in.
This is Terror. Return to Strength. From the album Keepers of the Faith. You hear that like rhythm? And they just make me want to go like this. Watch, I'm going to throw one on.
Oh! Acacia Strain would be quintessential hardcore.
No.
You hate Acacia
Strain.
Acacia Strain's
like metal.
What?
Literally going to have to delete that.
Why?
Can't talk over it. I can't play on YouTube.
They would love it.
They won't love it.
It won't even register as music.
YouTube won't love it.
Oh, but can you get me dancing?
Yeah, sure. I'll just have to mute it. You can't talk over it.
No, I'm sorry.
I was going to lay it in.
You think Acacia Strain is metal?
Yeah.
Wait, so you guys are still not agreeing on one fucking song that's hardcore?
That's because hardcore can be anything you want it to be.
Yeah, I would call
it. That's
what's
so cool about it is there's really no definition. It's
we both agree Drain.
Yeah.
What's
Ceremony?
What's
Incendiary.
What's
Incendiary? Oh my! Here, this
is a
band
or a song.
Yeah, there you go.
That
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, I get it. That's not punk at all. And that's not that's not really metal. That's a it's like
right?
a faster like rage
Wait, can I
metal.
Hear the Acacia Strain? The difference?
I don't really like them.
I know you don't like them.
This is I would say this is more like screamo.
Okay.
Or like
Feed a Pigeon Breed. What is it?
Like, I like this until the vocals kick in.
Yeah.
This seems like screaming at me.
Oh, that's hardcore.
It's, see, that's why this
is more
is
in,
hard.
The lyric, in the voice.
They're like more metal. Listen to this band. This band will fuck you up in terms of like what is what. Like, is this hardcore? Is this metal? I'll put on The Saddest Day by Converge. This will fucking blow
your mind. Oh, Drug Church is a good one.
Drug Church is great.
But that's a good example.
Drug Church is a song or a band?
That's a band.
All right, ready?
Military Gun. Yeah. Who is this?
Converge.
Yeah. There you go. That's actually a really good example. Yeah, because it's like...
Like, Ari, doesn't this just make you want to fucking throw your arms and fucking, yeah!
No, I hate that music. I hate hardcore. I like punk. I like ska better.
Okay, all right, all right.
The truth is, I've gotten into hardcore recently.
Because of Ian.
Yeah, because of it. Well, I went to the Misfits, and then I think him and my other friend, shout out Josh Wagner, would send me hardcore music, and I couldn't get into it. Went through a gnarly breakup, and then got so into
Remember I made you jams for Jensen?
Okay. Yeah. Don't play more music. Don't play more music.
Enough.
Jesus.
I just want to know what one song was.
Don't you want to ska?
Yeah, I don't like
I don't
hardcore.
Like ska. I mean, what? I like some ska, but I'm not a huge ska fan.
I'm listening
to hardcore because I'm not because I'm never put on hardcore when I'm happy.
Listen to Link 80. They're like hardcore ska.
Is it
ska-core.
But it has to be angry ska-core. Or else it's not.
It's angry. Well, let me put it on. Can I play one more?
Don't,
come on.
No.
Okay, sorry. Oh, you get me all jazzed up.
You and the dog.
We bandit, and we gonna go skanking. Come on,
did
bandit.
Did you get into hardcore and punk at the same time?
Yeah.
You did? It took me so long to get into
it. No. It was Metal, Metallica, Obituary, Cannibal Corpse, Korn, Deftones, Danzig, Misfits, Operation Ivy,
ska from...
Oh, ska before hardcore.
Yeah, yeah, ska from... I used to get compilation albums.
Was it hardcore later?
I like the song they played in Clueless, that ska.
Mighty Mighty Boston.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I went to see them at Webster Hall.
Yeah.
It's just it's wholesome.
It's wholesome. It's fun. It makes you feel good.
Somebody said when we saw them, they were like, I've seen them like 10 times. I was like, oh, really? He goes, they know who they are.
Yeah.
They know who they are, what their thing is, and they're just having a good, they're just happy to be playing.
I defy you, listeners out there, listen to ska and see if it doesn't put a smile on your face.
I mean, that's true.
It just makes me feel like I'm watching Angry Beavers.
Mighty, mighty.
Remember the Angry Beavers? You know? It feels like it's the intro.
It's a
to
happy beaver.
Yeah, it's too happy for me. I'm not. I think it's impressive music. It reminds me of Zydeco.
What's that?
Zydeco music?
It's like a music that you do the two-step to, like a folk, you know what I mean? Where it's like you have a washboard and a horn.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, I bet you would love Zydeco.
Yeah, I love horns. I love like Little
Clifton
Feet.
Chenier.
You who?
Clifton Chenier, is that Zydeco?
No. You ever hear Little Feet?
Yeah.
They're like a blues boogie southern rock. They got horns in them. Just horns always make me feel good.
It's weird that I've gotten to punk and then got into hardcore and then got into like Patti Smith, who's like the
it's with the similarities between these genres. I saw something. It said Ozzy Osbourne, and they're like, Ozzy. Who are your biggest influences? Like, the Beatles was one of his influences. And we're like, what? And there's something he's tapping into musically. That's not the sound. It's like anti-establishment. It's just, I don't know what it is. That the fact that Black Sabbath could be influenced by the Beatles is like, doesn't make any sense, but it's
cool.
Would if he told you why.
I
Patti
find...
Smith, I can see that, where it's like this, like, not angry, but like, I don't know.
Like analytical. It's like, like she's looking at
Patti Smith, first person to ever play CBGBs.
Really? That's weird.
She's
That's
the only person I think about as an aging woman that I'm like, okay, it's okay to be.
I saw her a couple years ago. She was fucking great, dude.
She rolls.
Great.
There's so few role models to look up for as a woman as like an older, you know, woman.
Check out Joan Jett. Or
Joan Armatrading.
Dolly Parton. Still like brings it.
The best. Dolly Parton, the best.
She's a god.
Yeah.
They tried to put her in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
She said no.
She said no. And they're like, why? She goes, I haven't done a rock and roll album.
Wow.
And she goes, I still plan to. You can't put me in this thing when I've not done it.
Amazing.
I'm a country singer.
Amazing.
So, like,
oh my God.
That's disrespectful.
That's really cool. That rules. Uh-huh. Holy shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
She goes, it's not over yet. I'm still making music.
Yeah.
I want to get in there, but I'm on my own accord, not just because I'm a name.
That's so cool. I love that.
I didn't
that.
Know about that. That's great.
Talk about the breakdown. I'll tell you what it sounds like to me. It sounds like in EDM, it seems like the bass drop.
Yeah, it is the bass
drop.
Yeah.
It's a change of tempo, the drop, and it is the part of the song that makes you want to fucking the most.
I've been listening to industrial EDM. You know about that? Industrial?
No.
A little bit.
Trance music? It's really intense, but there are similarities, and it is the climax of the song.
Yeah.
And it's the...
Let the bass drop.
Yeah. It's a part of the song that gets everyone jazzed.
LCD does it so good because they tease it for about 5 minutes. They just slow, and you're like, it's about to drop. No, until eventually like, drop it already.
Yeah.
And then when they do, you just start jumping.
Yep.
You can't help it.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is, it's a boiling over of rage. It's funny when you're on the train and you watch somebody listening to a breakdown and you know, like that somebody who's just like...
Yeah.
And they know this is a part of society, so they can't.
You ever listen to music, walk down the street, and you can't help but just like kind of dance to it?
Oh my God, all the time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah, just lose yourself in it.
Yeah.
It's fun in New York because there's so many people here that you have become anonymous again. So like if you're in a small town, you act weird, people know who you are. Here, everyone ignores everybody. So at some point, you realize you're alone.
And if somebody looks at you on the train, it's like they're like anytime you glance at somebody, immediately their eyes are like, what the fuck are you looking at? And you're like, oh, right, back to my own little space.
Yeah, exactly. They're looking at, and you can see them looking, and eventually like.
I was just in where was I just then? Chicago. And I was running.
That's a city.
I was going for a run, and people would pass me and be like, hey. And I remember, I was like, fuck that. In New York, that never happens. You do not smile at other runners. You keep your eyes down.
I smile at people. I like smiling.
Yes, you do. But I mean, like, there is a culture of respect. No, you do break this way too much, actually.
What?
But, like, on the train, would you be guy where person's reading a book and you're like, what is that book? You would.
I like talking to people.
But if the person was like,
you would, Ian would.
Literally, Gavin Matz last night gets on the train and he goes, and I was like, and then we sit all the way across from each other and just both like silently agree, like, could we just, you know what I mean? I think I had a book in my hand. He was just like,
I saw a comic. I'll cut it out who it is, but like, I saw a comic on the train and I was like, sorry. And then I was like, I went over like, oh, hey, how you doing? She's like, oh, good. Oh, excuse me. This is my stop. And I could see her get out, stop, and then wait for the next car. She just, it's such a weird division now between fucking.
Wow.
Yeah, the groups and comedy brutal. Where it's like we're all evils if we're this mainstream. And it's like, I know they're evil. All awkward, but at some point it's like, I mean, I have seen you and hung out before. It's
why
been a few
would
years.
What a fucking
like,
awkward.
Hi, what are you doing?
Dick.
You come from a show?
That's like, a fucking dickhead.
It's
move.
Just like they're crazy. They're all crazy. But it's so funny because it's like, I got to.
That's
like,
so weird. Stuff,
but I will also say that maybe it's like a social anxiety thing.
It could be
because
that.
Some
we're
people
all
really like, so many times I'll be like, they don't like me. And it's like, I'm not a blip on their radar.
Right. They're just awkward. They're like,
It was probably like an awkward small talk thing.
Absolutely. It could easily be that because that's also an uncomfortable person in general.
I love when you see somebody on the train and you both agree to not talk to each other. Nah. It's my favorite thing. It's the best. It's
like, the airport.
That's real love. Yeah.
At the airport. Hi.
Yeah.
Hi. Dude, me and Lisa Traeger, I saw her in line for a flight coming back from Austin and we ended up in the seats next to each other.
Really?
It was
great. That's tough when you want to ignore somebody and then they're like, oh, hey,
I didn't
want to
ignore her.
I'm saying if you would, and then suddenly you're seated next to each other, like, fuck, we're doing this.
That's
happened to me with a Punisher before. Punisher is.
I love this.
A term it's from Harry.
It's a musician term.
So many
musicians have said to me like, oh, that guy's a Punisher. And I'm like, what?
What does that mean?
No, I think these boys made it up. But
I've heard it from other people.
No way. It's because
it's a music thing.
Telling
Hold on,
it
what
too
is
much.
It?
It's when these boys, my friends, would play their show and then a dude from high school would come up to them and be like, yo, you were so good. And then talk to them for like 45 minutes. And they'd be like, it's a Punisher.
Yeah.
And yeah.
You feel punished in the conversation.
The worst is when you get stuck on the plane with a comic who's a Punisher. Where it's like when you go to a club and the host is like, so what's it like to work with so-and-so?
That's
you
the know? Worst question. Yeah. Instead of just like, dude. Oh, while you're here, you got to check out this diner. It's really good. Like, oh, that's a good tip. And it's like the what's it like? What's so-and-so
what's it
like?
Yes.
It's such a broad question.
The or Louis like, thing. What's it like to work with Louis? And I'm like, exactly how it
what
is
do mean,
to work with
what's it like?
You.
Yeah. You should go. Hey, what kind of, if you just specify, if you go, what kind of restaurants do you guys eat at? He goes, oh, he loves steak, man. It's really fun. Make it more specific and you can answer. Just like,
dude,
what does that mean? What's it like?
I hate talking about comedy with other comics. I hate it. That's why I love music so much, because I would much rather geek out about music than to be like, do you see this guy's special? You know, blah, blah, bee, boo, boo.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like I find more Sounds of a like musical you. Influence in my comedy than I do like a lot of comedy.
The fucking
comics.
the every single place I go, they talk about the crowd work stuff now. They're all like the clips on, and I'm like, I'm not having this.
Dude, if I could have another conversation about clips, I'm gonna fucking kill myself.
Yeah,
luckily,
absolutely.
So we all said like in my 10 years ago, we're always like the standard was crowd work is easy. It's all the same kind of shit.
Yeah,
anyone could do it. And then some people were actually quite good at it. Guys like Jay, they would do it in a different way. But there was a lot of very typical crowd work. And we'd all agree, this is kind of lame. You do it on occasion. Fuck it. Let me get into my bits with it. And then people start putting it online. And the crowd is like, doesn't know enough comedy. Be like, oh, this is just typical.
Right.
So they're like, this is amazing. And comics are like, no, it's not. And then eventually comics start going, fuck it, I guess I'll do it too. Yeah. How you doing? Where are you from? What is your job?
I have it where I've been doing crowd work all comedy, and I'm like, I love doing it.
I love
it. Yeah, it's fun when you get a crazy, a riffing is different than crowd work.
Yeah,
the
riffing.
I love it to get almost like a topic
to
and then riff
but
on that and go to a place.
It's never been, like in my stand-up, I'll use it to get to the bit, right? Like some people do that, you do that, I do that, where it's like, I have a bit, so I'm gonna ask you this question, and we get there, and then something crazy happens, and that's funny. That will be deleted because it's not a bit, so it'll never be used. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, oh, hell, you can just put that on the internet, and people are like, oh my God, it's a squirter. And I'm fine with, I don't give a fuck. If that fucking works, it works. But it is the amount of comics where like these crowd work, and I'm like, who cares?
And also like the problem is now, it's like now you're not just, you didn't happen to do stand-up. You didn't happen to do crowd work, and I may as well post it.
Right.
You're forcing yourself to do crowd work.
Right.
So you're changing your act for what's being bought.
I just love not knowing where I'm going to go.
That is
very
fun.
And to not have a safety net. Like, literally going up and just saying the first thing that comes into my head and like, yep, this is where we're going.
Todd
like,
Barry
I love
just,
that.
Just putting up, yeah, same. It's the best. It's the only way I can do it. The problem with that is I've been doing, I always do that, right? Where it's, you don't know what the set, mm-hmm. but then you get the thing on the fourth night and you're like, have I said this joke yet?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
Shit.
I do that in the one set. Yeah, the same set. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. But I will do an entire set of like jokes. And I like that, but for me, like repeating the same thing, the same thing over and over, I get sick of myself.
Yeah,
and then I start to go, "You fucking suck. Your jokes aren't good," you know. And sometimes I'll find a new thing.
Late night is a like story a, used to be that because it was so spread out, like a bomb went off, and it was just like two people there,
right?
And so it's like, what situation? What do you guys do? And it's like, right. Well, he just did this, like, and then you do make fun of a situation. It's just there's a difference in unique crowd work.
Oh, without
and
a
not,
doubt, so many people
the crowds can't see it.
So many people are making clips that are like, oh, are you eating chicken tenders? Mozzarella sticks?
You'll see this a lot. You'll see this a lot. You'll be like, has anybody, and then fill in the blank, anyone divorced? Anyone right. from out of town? Anyone had an abortion? Anyone,
how did
whatever.
You guys meet?
All right, and then you go, and then someone will woo and goes, one guy. Oh, one guy. And then it'll be a laugh.
And it's just a
stolen joke. That doesn't matter what you're applying it to. The joke's the same.
Yeah.
You didn't make that up.
Yeah. Or you go, you'll see a clip that's like, oh, is this your girlfriend? No. I bet you wish. Yeah. And then that'll be like the clip, and it's like,
or
what
it's
are
like,
we doing?
Is that your girlfriend? No. Oh, you said that pretty intensely.
Yeah. It's like, what are you doing?
Yeah, but, and it's not that intense.
No.
Or, dude, I did this once, and sorry, go ahead.
No. I was just going to say, I don't know what I was going to say. You go. What was it?
I had this thing. So the Comedy Store, they're on you at the OR in the original room. They're on
Who's
top
on
of you.
Who's on you? Oh, the audience.
The audience, yeah. And in fact, they sit at a table around the stage. So it's like, you if no one's there, you put your foot up on the stage and go like this. But if people are there, you can't do it because it's like they're on you.
Yeah.
And so everyone does crowd work in the front row. And I was on third or something. And I was like, hey, so, because one time I said something like, where are you from? And then someone way on the other side of the room goes, they're from Minnesota.
I've had that.
Yeah.
I love
Last
that.
Last night I got on stage and was like, there was a guy who had like a sweater wrapped around his, you know, he was just like a Harvard. And I was like, have we addressed this? And they're like, yep. And I was like, perfect.
Uh-huh. I said, you guys together, they all started laughing in a way like, I get it. You've been talked to. I'll pull it back. But anyway, so I said, like, listen, this front row is going to get talked to all night because it's a show from 9 p.m. 15-minute comics till 2 a.m.
Yeah.
So you guys are going to get talked to. I'm like, let's do a thing. And they ask one of you couples, who's it going to be? And we chose one. Like, they say, what are you doing? You got to, like, say, what are you doing in L.A.? Try to, like, avoid it. Eventually, let them pull it out of you. But you're here to bury your son. And then we tried rehearsing it with one. It was just fun.
That's great.
Yeah. And they're like, you guys aren't nailing it. You're out. This group. Okay. And then they were like, but you got to act like you don't want to say it because you don't want to say it in front of a crowd.
Right.
And
putting yourself, like, dude, that's
we
great.
We rehearsed it a bunch. And I was like, don't do it for the next comic because he might be in here watching. But any comic two from now or later. And it was Whitney.
Oh, my God.
And she goes like, so where are you guys from? They're like, you know, whatever, Michigan. They're like, what are you doing here? And the guy, he played it so well. He was like, she goes, oh, what's this? You don't want to say.
Oh, nice.
And then the crowd laughs and they know what's about to
happen.
80% of them anyway, not the ones who showed up late. And then she goes, come on, tell me. She goes, it's whatever. And then she's like, you're not going to tell me. She's like, come on, say it. And he said it. We're here to bury our son. And she's like, oh, my God. And the crowd starts laughing. And she goes, stop it. That's not funny. Stop it. You guys, stop.
That's great.
It was so good. And they started laughing more and I'm dying
that
in the back.
That is gold.
Oh, dude,
dying.
That is
so good.
Oh,
man, you heard
that
me
is
oh.
chess. That's amazing. I love that. That's great.
Yeah. That, if I had that on tape, I'd be like, I'm putting that up. Oh, you heard me screaming. You're
dude,
upset?
The other night, this girl was on her phone, and I made her give me my phone and called the guy that she was texting that wasn't her boyfriend.
Oh.
And that was like a moment that was like super fun and spontaneous. You know, I like
spontaneous
stuff like
moments.
That.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
The problem, I was doing a lot of crowd work, and then I started working for Louis, and I realized he was like, stop doing crowd work. So I did for a while.
Yeah.
And I was getting stuck in crowd work at the Cellar. Like, I would get locked in, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden I'm getting the light.
Yeah.
But
exactly.
When you're running the hour on the road, it is like, I don't know, it is. It almost feels like it's crucial. Like, you have to kind of, for
work.
Me at least, to like land and be like, okay, this is,
there's a falseness to starting with jokes.
Yeah.
Because you're supposed to be just talking. And if you start with like, so I was at the store today and what, it's like,
I feel inauthentic.
You have to get over this falseness.
I feel like a liar.
Unless you present it as, hey guys, can I tell you a story? like, hey guys, we're all friends. Can I tell you a story? It's almost like that. So it's like, hey, so I was at the store today. Like,
or this just happened.
It's just hard to get from.
Shane will start his sets with, here's what's going on with me. And it's like, oh, but he'll do the same thing. But it's
And it's like you're
so
presenting. It's inauthentic. And I knew a friend, Pete Carboni, he would just like, he was so, didn't want that one false moment that he could just never get into his material. It's because that first moment is false. It's not.
Dude, I got to tell you, Rob Cantrell, I used to just, my jaw would be on the ground. Because I would see him do the same set over and over, and each time it truly felt like it was the first time he was ever saying it. Like it made you feel special, like you were in on this thing. And I admired that so much because I get sick and tired of my stuff.
Yeah.
And I get sick and tired of saying the same
thing.
You
get to the point where you're saying a joke and people laugh and you're like, oh, you think that's funny?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, ha, ha.
Have you heard that for like a year
straight?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And dude, to see him, like, it was masterful in a way. And I was like, that's, and also like the ability to like, push
really
through
funny.
That feeling of uncomfortability of
that
like
fucking VU guys there every night is the bane of my existence.
God, it's kind of.
I can't.
He doesn't roll his eyes, but he's up close.
Yeah,
and it's a little bit like
he's like this.
Yeah, I know you've heard it. You have to put yourself in a place of like you come for the small differences, or you come because you want
to
see this bit again.
I want
to
single him out and be like, I know you've heard this before. You fuck. Oh God, I'm the one who's wrong.
And over the pandemic or after, he would wear that gas mask the whole time, so that you would just be like, I'm looking into the gas mask again and just saying what I've said last night,
baby.
What is straight edge?
Straight edge is.
I'm shifting back. what is straight edge?
Were you ever straight edge?
No.
Dude?
It's not just about not doing drugs and alcohol, right?
Straight edge is a belief of no drugs, no alcohol, and some people say no sex, and the idea is that you're straight edge for life. And when
the views
you
of the guests on this podcast do not necessarily represent the podcast itself.
If a saying is, if you're not now, then you never were.
Wait, what?
If you're like, not straight edge, if you were straight edge and you're not, that means you never, like, if you
it's
broke
like,
edge.
It's like saying I'm gay now. It's
Micah
like, no, you
Brucey's
always gay.
Straight edge. It's like you don't, but it's that you don't want to, Micah Brucey.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's that you don't want to alter your perception at any point. There's the philosophy behind it, something like that, where it's like,
dude,
you
I admire
be,
him, man. He's a long time straight edge dude.
Wait.
And that's few and far between.
It's that you don't. It's that you never like bail on the realities of life. I think it's like that, right? Where you don't alter
perception.
Yeah, and also
it's
you don't
about
escape.
like seeing the sickness around you of not wanting to be into it. So like a lot of people are straight edge because they grew up with alcohol and drug addicted families and they don't want to put that poison in their body.
It's different than sober.
Right.
It's almost like a pride in it instead of like a, hey, I can't do that.
I'll
get lost.
I'm telling
you. It's anti-authority through straight. I think that is
it's
not
rebelling
against
yourself.
The grain.
Yeah.
It's
you're
being
right,
the
right.
black
you're not
sheep.
Joining the sheep in their like
that's why Ian MacKaye and Minor Threat, one of their big one of their huge songs is Out of Step. I'm out of step with the world because I'm straight edge and I'm not doing what everyone else is doing, and one of their things is a black sheep. I was straight edge and that was who I was. I was straight edgy and I would X up. I had some friends that would go around and like slash tires at bars.
Yeah,
like
totally.
Fuck you if they saw someone smoking, they'd fucking knock them out. Like crazy shit.
Wait,
right?
So they hated people who did drugs and
thing.
Alcohol.
It's a positive thing, but sometimes it gets co-opted by like hateful
Every
people.
Movement's like that.
Totally.
Every movement's like that. It's like John Lennon said it the best, where it's like, say you want a revolution, I'm all for it, but if you're talking about destruction, then I'm out.
Yeah.
You have to uplift people instead of destroying people.
Yes.
That's not the way to get revolution.
Yes. And straight edge was such a positive part of my life, but at the same time, it became my identity and it became who I was. And it pigeonholed me into a thing because, first of all, I was just looking for community. I was looking for a personality. I was looking for some sort of like thing that made me different in a way. And a lot of my friends in high school and everything drank and did drugs, but my punk rock friends, they like understood it. I had a group of straight edge friends. And dude, I swear to God, at 18, 19, 20, you could not have told me I would ever drink. I would, this for life.
You started
I'm
drinking after 19?
I drank at 14.
Oh, okay.
And then at 15, I was like, I'm straight edge. And dude, the music, being a part of that community, it inspired me. It made me feel like I was a part of something.
And dude, I almost got X's tattooed on me.
Yeah.
What's an X? What's an X for?
X just means you're straight edge.
The signifying that you're straight edge. Because
is the band the XX have anything to do with that or no?
No. Okay. At all ages shows in DC, they would put an X on your hand if you were underage.
My friend said the worst $10 he ever spent, they put an X in his hand because he wasn't 21. He's like, okay. And they went right to the bathroom, washed it out. And the bouncer was just, he saw him go straight to the bathroom. So he's waiting outside the bathroom. He goes, let me see your hand. And he's like, here. He goes, you're out. He goes, that was the worst $10 he ever spent. For the cover.
I'm telling you, I truly thought I was going to be drug and alcohol free for the rest of my life.
X means you get the X, you're underage, same as if you're overage. You're like, I'm not drinking. That's right. That's a pretty good tattoo. That
and,
makes sense.
Yo, I was in rehab by 24. When I started drinking, it was, and also because everyone
you were never
knew
straight
me,
edge.
Everyone that knew me as straight edge, I was afraid of them judging me. So I started drinking alone because I was afraid of people finding out.
Dude, I did that with religion. So I was Orthodox Jewish. And I got a job at a law firm, and I wear my yarmulke. And you'd be embarrassed to wear the yarmulke in like regular situations. And so a lot of people would like, they go to a baseball game, they take the yarmulke off. Or they wear a baseball cap to cover it up, but like you take it off. What I would do is I wouldn't be embarrassed, so I'd wear it. But then one year I lost my religion, and I didn't feel like telling everybody at the law firm.
So just wore the yarmulke.
I put it on right before I went into the law firm, just faking it. So they wouldn't be like, wait, I thought you weren't.
Yeah.
I thought you were religious.
Yeah.
I just didn't want to deal with it.
Well, that's the thing. It's an ideology. It's almost like a cult. I honestly think it's like, you know, trans in a way, to where it's people wanting community. It's people thinking, it's young people thinking, I'm going to be this for the rest of my life. And at the end of the day, it's a community of people, it's support. It's feeling like you're a part of something. And then
and it's tough to go,
we
actually,
all grow up.
The more I think about it, maybe I'm just gay.
Yep.
And
you're
like, dang.
And dude,
you don't feel accepted to say that. Or maybe I just
I drank alone. I did drugs alone because I was so afraid.
You want to be part of this straight edge group.
Yeah.
But there were also kids that were into hardcore growing up that were like they weren't going to be the kids to get fucked up because they were like terrified of themselves. You remember the kids who didn't want to, and they'd be like, no, I don't drink. And you would be like, oh, you don't want to like lose control of your brain for a little bit. Those were the kids who were also like neurotic as fuck, and neurotic as fuck kids listen to hardcore to, like we said, match the tempo of the insanity. So those kids often would just end up being like, you know, fuck losing awareness for a second. That's not why I'm in this. I'm in this because I'm trying to like hyper fixate on all the problems with me or with the government or with whatever. And then I think, you know, and then you start to see the kids who are getting fucked up at shows start getting fucked up on drugs. And you're like, no, we didn't. And I think that was like,
well, I had straight edge clothing. I would wear like drug free hoodies. And one time,
because capitalism co-opts any movement.
Yeah, dude. And it was a thing of like, look at me.
Yeah, look at me.
And fucking
same thing happened with Black Lives Matter. It became a fashion.
I still believe very much in the hardcore. I mean, in the straight edge. Yeah,
me too, dude.
Just just the like, I'm going to dedicate my life to not altering my perception. I mean,
it makes sense if it's
that.
If it's not like I just want to fuck around, or I fucked around too much. If it's like no. Go the hard way and live through it. Because I always say, like, when people are like, I'm sober, like, then what do you do? How do you escape?
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, yeah, I tough through it.
Right.
That's how I am now. I had to become straight edge again because I was such a bad alcoholic drug addict that now I don't drink, I don't do drugs, I'm not like California sober, I'm fucking hardline. The only thing I do is smoke cigarettes.
Yeah, but you're doing it because it became too much. I'm saying it sounds like these straight edge guys are saying, like, it wouldn't be too much. I just think you guys are pussing out
by
fucking smoking
weed.
Bailing,
well, that's
you're
how
bailing,
I feel when people are like, I'm sober, but they smoke weed. I think that's kind of pussing out.
It's just also like they're just being sober. They're not being sober for the straight edge reasons. They're being sober because it got too much. And if like they can smoke weed and it's not too much, then it's fine. The problem is don't lose your life to it.
It's interesting with mushrooms and stuff like that, though, because like I don't do any drugs besides mushrooms.
Yeah.
And it's like that does seem like it's hyper amplifying existence.
Yeah. Hyper analyze. So yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So it's like, I'm not taking a break from reality. I'm like hyper. I'm like
focusing,
opening
on it.
Up
it's
a
like
reality.
Meditating almost.
I like to do that, but spiritually.
But I had somebody tell me like mushrooms are like it's like what meditation can get you there. It's almost like if somebody knocks at your door, and you can go get the door, or you can get a butler to go open the door for you. And
so like mushrooms are the butler.
Why would you get the butler to open the door for you when you can just do it yourself?
Right.
But I heard that analogy, and I'm like, no, I would rather have a butler.
Yeah.
Isn't the mushrooms a butler? Because
the mushrooms are the butler. And it's like you can.
They're saying
Duncan's like you can get there with meditation, and I'm like, yeah, but why go through all that problems when you can just chew on this fucking disgusting thing and be right there?
Because you're a fucking self-made man. You're not a fucking.
It's like
why do you use a cheat code?
You should be driving to LA instead of a flight. It's too easy, and it's like, ugh, yeah, use the cheat code.
The other thing is it's almost like, how are you gonna know what a color is until you see it? So when you take the mushrooms, it opens something up that, like, me and you right now probably have done it enough where we, if we think about the sensation, we could start to feel like we're tripping a bit right now.
Yeah,
and I think that so I feel like. Like with me, I'll take mushrooms and then I'll be like, I'm good. I can recall it for a really long time. And then I'll take it again to remind myself, or I'll microdose to remind myself.
Yeah.
But I do.
Get you started.
Yeah, on that totally. Path, yeah. Also, mushrooms don't like if you take mushrooms every day,
they just unlock something evil inside of me and I hate it.
Really?
Yes.
That's fair. People say, I don't want to lose control. It's like, you will. Yeah, if you take mushrooms every day, it just won't work.
It won't work.
So it's really like a once a month thing.
Bro,
yeah. So you can't get addicted to once a month.
It's taking the easy way out. Fucking face things our way. Face it head on. Face it without any sort of substance.
The problem is that you get stuck. You get locked in a gridlock, like societally. So you see things a very certain way, and all of a sudden things become organized categorically in your mind. And then when you take mushrooms, it strips that away.
Yeah, you can apply that same logic to therapy. It's like, just do it yourself. Why do you have some guy guide you through the fucking
No, I think it's different. I think therapy, again, is giving you the tools to unlock it yourself, whereas mushrooms is using cheat code.
No, it's just making you go like, hey, that guy is you. So that guy who fucked your girlfriend, who you're angry at, that's just a guy who liked a girl.
But you can get that way through therapy and through doing the work yourself without having to take mushrooms.
You can get it that way without therapy. But you get therapy because it's nice to have someone guide you through it.
It's more like putting glasses on. Yeah. It's like you can see fuzzy for a really long. That's totally fine. You figure it out.
You can just get closer.
But if you put these glasses on, you'll see this entire world that you can then remember when the glasses are off. But it is like, I mean.
That's what my therapist says about depression.
It's a cheat
code,
but also it's like, oh, taking a picture with the iPhone is cheating. It's like, I guess, man. But this is a very clear picture. Yeah. I'm not going to take a bunch of photography.
You know what? Yeah. I think I'm coming from a place of jealousy that you guys can handle your drugs and I can't.
It might be
and
that.
I will admit that if you want to do that to get to a better place, who am I to judge? Live your best life, ska.
Thank you for admitting you're wrong. Please leave.
You want me to leave, and I will.
Also, everybody who says it's like a gateway to alcohol, you it's probe retarded. Further, and they go, well, it's mushrooms, and then I started smoking weed, and then I started drinking again. And I'm like, yeah, I agree. Weed can lead to alcohol.
Weed is a gateway to mental illness.
You get a panic attack, and you chill it out with beer. But mushrooms, I mean, it is just like if you're so in that you're having a panic attack, the last thing that you're about to do is like... drink yourself. You know what I mean? Like, it just isn't.
I don't even think it's a gateway. I think it's all part of the same world. So, like, it's talking about, is KFC a result of drinking? And it's like, yeah, your inhibitions are down. You make a bad decision. Yeah. But it's not like you're already in a place to
kind
of do
that. Or did you latently want KFC?
Yeah, you did. Exactly. You weren't not thinking about KFC at all.
Right, right, right.
I'm just talking about Joe
DeRosa. Mushrooms is a gateway to vegetarianism, though. Every time I eat mushrooms, I'm like, I can't eat meat? That's insane. It's like taking a bite out of my own arm. Yeah, totally. That is how
dogs are people too.
The idea of it is crazy. I remember chewing meat on mushrooms and just being like,
yeah, if you think about it, it's fucked. Yeah. If you think about it, it's fucked. It's really hard if you really let it in.
Yeah, and then I'm just eating like my own sinewy.
All right, let's change the subject. I like burgers.
First of all, I'll announce my special Ari Shaffir Jew is coming out November 2nd. So far, that's the plan. I got to talk to Schultz tonight because he's the plan maker. But I think that's when I'm going to do it. So subscribe right here at youtube.com/AriShaffir. Wait, now let's get back into this. First of all, listen to their podcast, not B and Ian.
Yeah, B and Ian.
B and Ian. It's featuring Jordan Jensen. It's on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. If you're listening right now, there'll be a link at the bottom of the screen where you can see it. If you are watching on YouTube.com/AriShaffir, there's also a link on the bottom of the screen.
And it's YouTube.com/B&E and Pod, Patreon.com/B&E and Pod. Sign up for the Patreon. It's a fucking good time.
Yeah, there's a lot of good shit.
Very funny comics. I'm jealous of both of them. Ian for being able to suck guys off through a wall, and Jordan for being able to open for Louis C.K.
I also suck guys off from the wall.
Yeah.
I also suck guys off from the wall, Ari.
Yeah.
Have you?
No.
Have you? Passed the torch to her.
You suck guys off from the wall?
Yes.
What do you mean from the wall?
Glory from hole. A hole in the wall.
When?
Years ago. I don't do it anymore. How? I'm off the sauce.
Well, she's wait, what?
Straight
right
edge on cocks through holes in
how
walls.
How does that benefit you to suck another dude's hole?
Because
cock?
Sometimes I want to get high off another man's cock.
Wait, but do
but
you
it's been
your
years,
the
by
hole?
The grace of God, that I have not engaged in that behavior.
Do you pay money?
I think no. It's just like everybody's in for it.
If you pay money,
where's
you,
the
you,
wall?
On 21st and 8th.
Really?
Yeah, I'll take you.
Can I see it?
But they don't like fresh fish. I'll tell you that much.
It's wild, huh? We did a podcast together a long time ago in a car, and he was telling me how he's not gay, but he has sucked off guys through a hole in the wall.
I've done that like once or twice, but I get like, sucked. I'm like, the one that gets sucked.
Okay, yeah.
But either way, I'm like, I've never disagreed with a guest before, but I'm pretty sure you're wrong. Yeah, I think you're gay.
No,
and you were like,
no,
do you think?
No,
I'm like, yeah,
no,
I'm pretty positive.
No, it doesn't make you gay if you engage in some sort of homosexual act. It makes you gay if you're only attracted to those people.
It makes you gay for saying exactly what you just said with the way that you said
with the,
it with your
the
hands
out in the ring. Yeah, it doesn't make you gay to do it, but gay is a symptom. Sucking a guy off is a symptom of being gay.
Well, alcoholism is a symptom of the disease, of a spiritual sickness.
What... You won't. I mean, it's wild, right?
It is pretty wild. I just want to see what it would be like if you dated a man. That's all I want.
Huh?
I just want you to date a man for 6 months.
I can't because I'm not fucking gay. I've tried to lay with another man, and it's not for me.
He's fighting
I
so
made
hard.
A man named Jake eggs the next morning, and he didn't like him, and he left.
And that was it?
I tried to be romantic. It doesn't work, and it's not for me. I love the touch and scent of a woman, but sometimes I want to, dad, papa, got to eat.
Help him out, Bandit. He's in a bad place. Bandit feels
he did he eat the eggs?
No, he said they were too salty.
Oh.
And I sauteed spinach for him as well.
I like how that breakdown went from you being like, I can't lay with a man because I'm not gay. And if I try, they leave. They leave my house. I would like to. I
don't enjoy the cooking, and it's hurtful. I can't do this again.
I miss you. Jake, call me back.
Bandit. He's in a bad place, Bandit. He's in a bad place. Look at him wagging his tail. He's a fucking, he's an emotional support dog.
It's a girl. Why do you keep calling him a he?
Gender is over, Ian.
No, it's not.
So
you're mentally
funny.
Ill because you do too many drugs. Hi, cutie girl.
What's the deal with, let's chip back into it and then we'll wrap it up.
Also,
yeah, sure.
Say you're
absolutely. Let's keep going.
Say you're jealous of me for being a good comic too. Not just because I suck off on a hole in the wall.
I won't. I said they're both funny comics.
Yeah, you did and say that.
Oh, okay. All right. Sorry. I just went into the fucking tunnel vision.
I'm not jealous of being. I'm also a good comic. I'm not jealous of that part.
Oh, I thought you said you were
I've
jealous.
I've never sucked a guy off the wall. I've never opened for Louis. Those are two things that I wish for
those
myself.
Those are two
that's
goals.
Jealousy.
Open for Louis?
Those are two goals.
What? You would open for Louis?
100%.
Who wouldn't open for Louis? He's the best.
I don't know.
Judd
I'll
Apatow.
I'll tell you right
would
now.
Not open for Louis.
Those are two goals of yours that I can see you achieving within the next
year. Sucking
yeah,
off a dude.
Insane.
Yeah.
You can't blow a chick through a hole in the wall because it's just too hard to get in there. It has to be a really flat.
You know, one time I got my dick sucked through a hole in the wall. And when I came, I put my fist through the hole and I went, thanks, bro. And we fist bumped.
Oh, it's that big?
Yeah.
I picture it not even be big enough to get your balls.
No, no, no. It's like a rectangle.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is it, do you have to kneel or is it face height? Where
no.
is it?
You stand.
It seems like you should be able to shift the height
yeah.
of the hole because different heights of people.
Totally.
Well, also, a woman, it wouldn't be a hole in a wall. It'd be like a table with a hole
where
in it.
Where does the act of commerce
on.
Come in? Where who? Where
there's
does the
no
money
commerce.
No, no, no. It's just guys.
The
just
commerce
guys being
is,
guys,
is,
you know?
Is the priceless gift of sucking cum on
is
a
it,
lunch break.
We Ian's just right. look like we're both screaming at a dog. Is it?
Why do you suck off dudes through a hole in the wall?
So you suck off the dude. You.
No, they suck me. I've okay. sucked twice, but I've gotten sucked a lot more.
And it's,
well, you're in there.
Do
you
they
might
ever
as well try
talk
it.
To you? Do they put their mouth in and say you're gonna?
What are you into?
Yeah,
what,
do they ever
musically,
say
what are you like?
Yeah,
you
they'll go. I can only come,
dude. Kiss
through.
A kissing through the hole in the wall. That's something I could get into.
That's a kissing booth. That's a different. Yeah, it'd be a glory for women. It would be like
them?
A guy
yes,
just telling
yes,
you nice things.
Yeah. Whispering, "I'm sorry," over and over. I apologize. I shouldn't
no,
have
if it was
that.
A female glory hole, it'd be a hole for the woman to put her ear up and the other woman would be like, how was your day?
Yeah. It would just be an ear. That's it.
Yeah.
Just,
whispering ear. What, Ari?
You know what?
What?
You know what? You I live know. In this world. You know it's not normal.
No, it's not normal. I'm a sick person. I understand. I'm not trying to normalize this behavior. Nobody should behave this way.
I
was in a deep,
should.
Dark place when it happened. I'm not saying everyone 8th, should do it.
38th and 8th.
It's not 21st and 8th. 38th and 8th.
I do want to go down there and see it all.
I want to see it.
Let's go.
From afar, at least.
Let's go to a group trip to the Glory Hole.
Okay.
Now, listen.
It's called the Glory Hole?
No, the name of the place is called the Blue.
I guarantee you there's a bar called the Glory Hole.
Oh, without a doubt.
For sure, right? Here. Many bars across America.
Dude, I have found that my gay behavior is a form of distraction from my life. And I use it as a way to get high because it's a quick high.
And
I'm addicted
taboo.
To shame and it's taboo. And so when I engage in a shameful act, I have to do it again to make it go away. And so I've worked really hard to not behave that way anymore. And I, you know, shit happens. What do you want?
I don't want anything. I just want you to have a nice boyfriend for a little bit. That's all I want.
Why? Why do you think I should have a
because
boyfriend?
Because I just think that you want me to say?
Yeah.
I think that you end up with hyper feminine women.
Uh-huh.
Who then...
And all the guys I've gone for are hyper feminine men.
Who then?
I like femininity.
Who then, you know, really like you because you have a confidence and a bravado about you.
Yeah.
And then you begin to get soft and insecure and they are mean. And I think that a man would be able to handle your softness and insecurity.
What? Why would a man be able to handle softness
when men
are rough?
Because sometimes I think you want to be held by a nice big man.
I do.
I know.
And I would, but not for a relationship. Maybe just for like a day. Or night.
Yeah, or
weekend.
Just six. Yeah, that's
six
all I'm saying.
6 months to a year.
It's like, you know, and I get it. I get mad too. And my friends are like, I think that you think that you need to date men because you, you know, value their perception more than women.
I love the femininity of women. I love the touch. I love how they smell. I want to be comforted by a woman. I want to be mothered. But I would sometimes like a fella to hold me and go, I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
Wow.
Ari?
I get it.
You up for it? Come on, brother. Give me a hug.
What if you, and you couldn't date a masculine woman because you're like.
Let me smell your ear. I don't like masculine.
No, you couldn't, but you couldn't.
You want a feminine man.
I'm the alpha. I don't get fucked. I fuck.
But like someone hairy like Mateo.
Oh, no. One time I tried to get sucked off by a guy with a beard and I couldn't get hard and he just did a popper
but
and I said,
I'm
hey,
like
pal,
that.
You're going to have to leave.
I can't get, if there's a mustache or a beard, it grosses me out.
You want a strong, hairless.
That's why I like
man.
Dancers. Usually the guys I go for are dancers.
Somebody shaves themselves.
Like
by the way, there's glory holes in Elise, Colorado, Missouri, Arizona, Juneau, Alaska, and
my
the UK.
God.
And that's just
my
the
God.
First, it goes more from there.
Wow. Amazing.
I mean, what a name for a fucking.
Yeah.
Well, okay, wait, the last
but
question.
But I've paid hookers to eat their pussy.
So
I've never
thing.
Paid for a man
want to, eat?
To suck his dick, but I have paid for trans women to let
because,
me lick their
pee-pee. Because nobody's charging for the dick sucking. You can just get it. Why would you pay for it?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, it's a nice day out. You're like, you can just go get the nice day. But if
it's
like it's middle
cruising.
Of winter and you're like, I'll pay $50 for a nice day, they're like, okay.
Yeah.
But like, you don't do that on a fucking.
But there's something
September.
About being with guys in a like cruising situation that's like, I shouldn't be doing this. It's a taboo.
The wrongness.
Of like, oh my God. You know, what's going to happen? Are we going to get caught while we jerk each other off in the park by the cellar? I don't know.
It's an outlet for your mania. Totally.
Let's take a field trip.
You should just fuck your girlfriends in public places. I think you'd like that. It helps.
I have.
That's pretty fun.
I fucked my ex in the bathroom at Joey Rose's.
There you
go. Really?
Yeah.
Ew, you were probably stepping in Joe DeRosa's semen.
Ew. No, but you know what sex I'm into now?
What?
With my gals? Like
penis.
Love sex. Like
you're always
holding
into that.
Like
yeah.
Moving
yeah.
while eye to eye.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I fucking love
keeping
you.
Keeping your head still like Tiger Woods on a
I fucking swing. Love you. I want to be with you forever if you get a sex change. Like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, now imagine if it was a big man that you were sinking into like that. It would be nice. I think it'd be good for you.
Wow.
Because that's what happens is you love bond with these women and then it gets too much and then you have to rebel and go suck a dick in a park to be like, see, I'm not married with children yet. I'm blowing this dude with fucking, you know.
You're projecting.
No, I think this is true.
Why can't you hold on to a man then?
Because I'm the woman in your scenario. Where
going
I'm being like,
you're
why
dating
can't
all
we
these
just...
homos who are trying to fake it.
I'm dating all these dudes who are like love bonding and then I'm like, okay, forever. And they're like, ah, you know what I mean?
I want forever. I want to love and be loved. I'm
you
just finding the
that.
Wrong forevers.
But you say that, but then you go through your rebellious phase where you're like, I kind of want to suck a dick right now.
But I'm over it.
Okay, we'll see. We will see.
Well, time will tell. Yeah,
I win an argument by going like this. Everything you're saying is right until now. It's like, I have no idea what the future holds. I can only base it off of the past that's repeated itself a million times.
I mean, well, I cannot see this conversation coming out of a discussion about the punk scene. Yeah.
That's why it's so great. Yeah. It goes, you know, and that's Bean Ian. Watch Bean Ian to see this
Ian.
Conversation
it's
unfold.
An argument.
I don't do that anymore.
You're wrong. Starting now. On your mark, set, go. No, hold on a second. It's right now. It's beginning. It's right now. You're wrong. It's like you pulled a dick out of your mouth and you're like, I don't like dick anymore. I think you might like dick.
Sometimes I'll be sucking and I'll be like, what are you doing, buddy?
Okay. You know? Yeah.
I'm like that with chicken wings.
There you go.
No, I still like it. I just know it's bad for me. That's probably closer.
I'm like that with chicks with wangs.
Oh, I want chicken wings.
All right, let's wrap this up, I think.
Okay.
The last question I had was, what about the... It's very white, right? These scenes?
No.
They're not very white?
Bad Brains.
Bad Brains were four fucking black Rastas who revolutionized punk rock.
But you're showing me an
anomaly.
Exception.
I think that is.
You think it's not a very white scene?
Common misconception. The most, dude. I was introduced to fucking different cultures by going to punk shows.
There are
by
black
going to
kids,
hardcore
but they're
shows.
A little autistic.
But there are very few.
There are, yeah, but that's.
I mean,
like,
if you look over a scene at a fucking at that show you went to at the
dude, look at the band Candiria. Look at End It. They got black singers, dude. Candiria is like a hardcore jazz band. It's fucking nuts.
Okay,
it's just the same as rap, where there are white
rap
kids
is black.
Who get
there
into
are
it,
white,
and there are
yeah.
black kids
right.
Who get into
oh, that's good.
Yeah,
but punk rock is definitely white kids being like. It starts out as white kids being like, I want to be different. I want to be anti whatever. And I'm
right.
yet I'm a white kid with parent. You know,
it's
right.
not exclusively white, but it is predominantly no. white. You're saying it's 50-50?
It's predominantly.
No, I would say it's 60-40.
There's 40% black dudes at these shows?
Ian. No way.
70-30?
It's 90-10. It is 90-10. Look at a hardcore show in your mind right now.
Looking at the one I went to the other time. It was
you're just
all,
noticing the blacks because you're scared of them.
It was,
so you try to keep an eye
clearly,
on where they are.
They're the reason why I had to wear the cup.
Women, it might be 60-40. There are a lot
you
of
think
women
it's
in
40%
hardcore.
Women at these
okay,
shows?
It's like 30. But black people, it is definitely.
Bro, it's blacks and Spanish at the show I went to
oh, Spanish,
at fucking
yeah.
in Brooklyn, dude.
It's a lot of Spanish, huh?
Yeah.
Spanish
yeah.
Or
yo, there's
a
whole
race.
Mexican ska scene, dude.
They're also into Morrissey heavy.
Are they?
Heavy, at least in
really?
SoCal. Heavy. That all his whole fan base in Southern California
bro,
is like
I'm telling you,
Mexicans.
Ska came from Jamaica. Desmond Decker introduced his record label to Bob Marley.
But
just
punk,
so you know.
Not as much.
Punk
the
Sex punk
Pistols
was
and
a
Ramones
very white
and like,
thing.
Yeah.
And then hardcore kind of got more
anybody can do
diversity anything. Because it was elongated. Punk was, you know, coming around for a few years, and the further you get along, the more people are exposed to this type of music.
The lines racially in general have been blurred on anything. Like if you go to a Talib Kweli concert, it's legitimately mostly white.
Mm.
But all these lines of like what is black, what is white, mm-hmm. what is have now been blurred.
Yeah,
you know. But
that's
how
why music's
its roots,
so great.
Its roots are like what I'm asking about. I guess
it's. I do think that the kids who are into punk are kids who have relatively normal white fucking cul-de-sac. Like at least from my experience and what I've read about, it does seem like it was like a. I feel so much rage because everything is so. Bland and beige.
That was SoCal punk. That's SoCal punk.
True.
Yeah.
But also at the same time, a lot of black people have bland and beige lives too.
Right. But
and I think
origins.
This music, it can relate to anybody because music is so great because it makes you feel in a way that different pieces of art don't. Like the actual instruments can bring something out in you.
Truth.
And no matter who you are, you can relate about music about not fitting in or feeling different.
Yeah, but if you're a black kid who goes to school and you're surrounded by all of your other black kids, right? And you're the kid who shows up in like a studded belt with a messenger mm-hmm. bag. It's not going to be a good look to you, to all your buddies who are like into
the... Yeah, but that's a kid that doesn't feel like he belongs.
Right, but that's why I'm saying it is an exception to the rule. Because it is like that kid is an outcast.
Yeah, no.
You show up with a Biggie shirt. On,
yeah, you're
like,
good.
This seems more normal. And
yeah,
fits it,
I'd say it's 85-15, but no, 75-25.
I was never bullied for being punk, and I can imagine
I was.
And I actually there was a goth girl who was black at our school, and she got bullied, and I was more goth than her.
By blacks or whites?
Yeah, by black people.
Yeah, totally. It is.
It's the coolest people you bullied by.
Because you are going into. I mean, it is. Yeah, I mean, it's mostly...
That's what I liked about the me coming up in the scene I did, was that, like, I could like that stuff, and I felt so disingenuous being like, here's what... I'm going to wear a spike bracelet because this is showing everyone what I'm into. Like, that's how I was when I was younger, but the further I got along, I was like, I'm just going to dress how I like and like this crazy music. Yeah. And I remember people being like, you don't dress like you like this? I was like, yo, I feel like a fraud, you know?
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
It still helps me to have... Even when I'm running in the park and I have all the Lululemon stuff on and I know that I have tattoos showing, I'll pass another Lululemon girl and be like, so you know I'm not like you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It became fashion. Lululemon became fashion instead of just like, I'm too fucking, I just came from yoga class. Yeah. I don't feel like changing. Now it's like, no, you put this on.
Dude,
just
that's
to go
the
out.
Thing you said about corporate. Everything, no matter
it
what
co-opts
it is.
Everything. Every movement is co-opted because at some point, like, I don't give a shit one way or the other. I'll just make money.
Yep.
The rainbow can for Bud Light is the best example of that. They don't give nothing to fucking gays. Mm-hmm. And if the gay fight went the other way, where it was like underground, Budweiser would put a fucking Dixie flag on there.
Well, that's
they don't
whole
care.
Thing.
None
that's
of them care. They just want to co-opt it for money.
I feel like in hardcore punk and everything, that is one community that the term sellout comes out a bunch, which I never understood because it's like, wouldn't you want the thing you like? That's the song I come out to on stage by Real Big Fish. Sellout. Wouldn't you want, if you love something, wouldn't you want to share that with the world?
Right. But you want to keep it underground to a degree. You want to. It's so weird. You want to share it with one or two people, but then when too many people know about it, like, it's not cool anymore. But like, wouldn't you want everybody to know about it?
Yeah.
But you feel cool being one of the few who knows
about
this.
I know, but that's so childish.
That's what rules about turning this age. Like, now that I'm 31, it is crazy. It's how I'm going back.
You're 31?
Yeah.
Oh.
What'd you think it was? I don't know. Older or younger?
A lot older.
Shut the fuck up. And it's been a rough year. And I... going back and being like, oh, now I can just like wear, like, I bought a motorcycle. I was like, I can just do these things.
Yeah.
That I have.
Getting older is the best.
Yeah.
My buddy Ryan, you know Ryan O'Neill?
Yeah.
We were skiing and we're doing the terrain park trying to do the jumps and shit. And we're not good, you know, we're just like getting like that far off the ground. And he goes, the weird thing is you can do this at under 14. We're like, can I try?
Yeah.
And from 14 to about 28, you're too embarrassed.
You have to pretend.
And then when you're 40,
you're like, you don't care about it.
I know I'm bad. It's okay.
Yeah.
And also, they're not judging you. They're like, yeah, it's fine.
That.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
I know that even getting into hardcore, people will talk to me about hardcore and I'll just take out a pen and paper and I'm like, I'm just getting into hardcore and write it all down. Whereas if I was younger, they'd be like, get the fuck away from
that. And by the way, they wouldn't back then. You just were so scared
that
they would.
Totally.
All right, guys, very good. Where can people find you online?
Jordan Jensen, LOL stop.
J-E-N-S-E-N?
Yes.
LOL stop?
Yeah.
Jordan Jensen, LOL stop.
Yeah, I'm on Instagram and I'm not on Twitter, TikTok.
I know, right?
I'm not on Twitter either.
This is what I got to deal with.
Were you on there before?
No.
Oh, nice. Smart. That's why you're nice.
See, this is what I got to deal with. Jordan Jensen, LOL stop.
Yeah, let's lame. What are you?
What do you want me to do?
Ian Fidance?
Yeah. No, at IAnimal69.
Yeah.
IAnimal69. Instagram, Twitter, Twitch, being Ian with Jordan. YouTube.com/BeanIanPod, Patreon.com/BeanIanPod. New episodes out Monday. You get them early on the Patreon on Fridays.
Okay.
And also, bye, guys, of Zach and Miko. What? What? What do you want?
Come out to my shows. Go to the website.
Me. Yeah.
Come see us.
Where you got to be? You got anywhere in the next month?
Yes.
Where?
Oh, Philly Punchline, November 17th to 19th. Pittsburgh Improv, December 8th. I'm going to be in Cleveland, Ohio, November 5th.
Great.
I'm going to be in Des Moines at the Funny Bone the beginning of November. We're both going to be at Skank Fest this weekend.
Yes.
By then.
I'm going to be... Shit.
We had a good time at Skank Fest.
Oh, Austin, Texas, Cap City, November 11th. Ooh. And then Houston, Texas, the 18th. Yeah, so come out to the shows, please.
Nice. Yes.
Okay, guys, thank you very much for coming. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Bye,
thank
everybody.
You.
Thanks
You're
for
great,
subscribing.
Man. This is
and
awesome.
Yeah, subscribe, leave a comment, do all that shit. All right. Bye.
Don't call me white. Don't call me white. Don't call me white. Don't call me white. I wasn't brought here, I was born. Circumcised and ran a guy's allegiance sworn. Doesn't mean I have to take such shit for being 15 now.
Well, that's the episode, everybody. I hope you enjoyed it. I did. It was interesting. I kind of learned the difference. The knowing about fucking, what's it called, was the most interesting stuff. Knowing what straight edge is. That is not just about... That is not just about not drinking. It's a choice. It's like a real choice to not drink. Yeah. That was interesting. Here's the takeaway from this episode, too. Ian Fidance loves to talk over Jordan Jensen. Did you see it? I did. She couldn't get a word in edgewise. I kept having to turn to her. I mean, my whole body language was turned to Jordan to try to include her in the episode. Ian, you talk too much. That's your co-host of your podcast, and you wouldn't let her fucking talk. She has just as much expertise on hardcore and punk and ska as you do, but you wouldn't let her talk. You even said it's 50-50 women to men, which is retarded. It's not. But you still... If you're saying it's 50-50 and then here's a chick, you wouldn't let her fucking talk? That's crazy, dude. That's crazy. And I don't think it's misogyny anyway, because you blow dudes. I think it's just being self-absorbed or something like that. Or maybe being hyper. I don't know. Or maybe being uncomfortable. But you got to let Jordan talk from now on, dude. It's funny comedy. She couldn't even get started. So that's the episode. Hope you enjoyed it. Please hit subscribe. Again, my special's coming out in November. Hit subscribe right now to this channel, youtube.com/AriShaffir. Subscribe and you can be notified as soon as it drops. The plan is to drop one clip from the episode, from the special about a week before, which is coming up. One bit. Talk to Andrew Schultz, the master of this. That's what he told me to do. That's what I'm going to do. And then the whole special on November 2nd. Hopefully everything gets done in time. If not, you know, afterwards. But and then you could talk about this special Thanksgiving with your families, put it on for them, play it. It's a fun one. If you're looking for something to do, it's good for the whole family. Depends how cool they are. That's it, everybody. Thank you very much for tuning in. See you out there on the road. This has been Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank, episode 491, Hardcore Punks, for Jordan Jensen and Ian Fidance. I'm Ari Shaffir. And so long. Until next week. Talk to you later. What's it gonna take to fucking change? If these habits are ingrained, when everything comes apart gradually, we ignore what comes to us naturally. If you don't know what the product is you. If you don't know where the money is, the profits grow when you ignorance. Cause we're just a zero on the page in a book that tells the story of a fate. Cause we're just a zero on the page. Punishment against exploitation, the human error. Exploitation, why we fail. Exploitation, the humanity. Exploitation, why we fail. Punishment.